Hello, everybody, and happy Saturday evening to all you fine folks out there in Radioland. Adam McDonald alongside Jake Ricker with you tonight for today's Florida State League ball game between the visiting St. Lucie Mets and the homestanding Bradenton Marauders. We have game five of a six-game series for you with first pitch coming up at 6:30. Should be good for an on-time start. It's warm and toasty here in Bradenton, Florida, Leacom Park, as the Mets try to get their first win of the week. It has not gone well so far. The Mets have lost all four games of this current series against the red-hot surging Bradenton Marauders. Two of these wins for Bradenton have been walk-off style. They won 3-2 on Wednesday in the ninth inning, and then yesterday in a 7-7 game got a two-out double and single to win it. And for Bradenton, that was an eighth straight win. For the Mets, it was a seventh straight loss. The Mets have now lost six straight games on the road. Meanwhile, Bradenton is 9-1 on its current 12-game homestand. Maybe a shakeup in the booth is what this team needs. For the first time this week, Jake Ricker has made his way into the broadcast booth. Jake, good to have you on board.
Adam, excited to be here, and yeah, hoping I bring some good luck to the team today. You know, baseball is a funny game. You have lots of ups and downs and streaks when you play 132 games on the season. But for the Mets, I mean, it's still been a lot of where you look at it, they've had either great pitching or great hitting. They just haven't been able to get both of those things on the same page. They did it for a little bit against the Hammerheads on that three-game win streak that they had. But since then, just hasn't been on the same page. Looking to try and do that today.
Yeah, Bradenton just red hot right now. They were playing decent baseball. They were playing close games, I should say, to start the season. A lot of one-run losses. They had a 5-18 record at one point. But now Bradenton, with eight straight wins, has a better record than the Mets at 13-18. The Mets are 12-19. At one point, like you said, Jake, Mets were rolling. They had won three in a row. They were 12-12. Looked like that they were within striking distance of first place. They were only three games out against the Hammerheads. It looked like they were heading for a series sweep against Jupiter and a tie for first place. But now the Mets are a season high eight games back. And for the Mets, you know, they are 4-12 on the road. That's, of course, a poor record. Five of those losses have been on walk-offs in the ninth inning. So the Mets have been right there, either tied or in the lead in the ninth inning, just have not been able to finish games on the road. They have a few more chances, though. We got tonight and tomorrow here at Leacom Park to wrap up the series, and then all next week down at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium on the road. Taking a look at the standings in the Florida State League in the East Division, Jupiter leads the way at 12-11, two games better than Daytona, which is 18-13. Palm Beach 17-14, three out. They're the Mets' next opponent. And then again, the Mets at 12-19, last place, eight back. In the West Division, Clearwater won earlier today. The Threshers are now 21-11, half game up on the 20-11 Lakeland Flying Tigers. Bradenton is now in third place, tied with Dunedin, 13-18, but still 7.5 back. And then you have Fort Myers, 12-19, 8.5 back. Tampa losing to aided Clearwater, 10-22, 10.5 games back. Games around the Florida State League today. Clearwater won 9-4 in a noon game against the Tarpons. They'll have one more game to go in that series tomorrow. Clearwater leads that series 3-2. Palm Beach and Jupiter underway at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. No score in the second. Dunedin at Fort Myers. No score, or correction, 1-0 Fort Myers in the bottom of the first. Fort Myers leads that series 3-1. Lakeland is at Daytona at 6:35. Lakeland leads that series 3-1. In the Mets organization, New York right now battling, trying to get a hit against the Atlanta Braves. Braves leading by a score of 3-0 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Mets no hit through 7 1/3 innings between Max Fried and Jimenez. AAA Syracuse gets going at 6:35 against Lehigh Valley. Binghamton won today in Portland. Eight straight victories for the Rumble Ponies. They're 18-12. Brooklyn currently up 1-0 at Rome. Brooklyn won yesterday 6-3 in 10 innings. So a lot of success around the Mets organization yesterday, as all four other Mets minor league affiliates yesterday, AAA, AA, Single A, and the FCL, all winners. Mets could not join that. They were awfully close as they were down 6-0 early, came back to take the 7-6 lead. It lasted for a couple of minutes before Bradenton tied it in the bottom of the seventh, and then the Mets ended up falling by a score of 8-7 in the end. We'll take now a look at the starting pitching matchup for the Mets. They will turn to Wyatt Hudepohl, who last week made two starts against Jupiter and went a combined 8 innings without giving up an earned run. This is Hudepohl's 7th game of the season and his 6th start. He's 1-1 with a 3.05 ERA. Christian Curtis is the starter for the Marauders, the 22-year-old from Beaumont, Texas, making his 6th start. He's 0-2 with the 5.21 ERA.
Both guys with pretty good strikeout stats. Hudepohl, who's pitched well for St. Louis over the course of the season, 28 strikeouts. And, you know, that's something that the Mets would like to rely on today if they can keep those Marauders off of the board early and get the offense going. Hudepohl should be able to get them pretty deep into a game. And then meanwhile for Curtis, he's had some success as well. 6.28 ERA last time out against Clearwater, 4.1 innings pitched and just 2 strikeouts. But another guy that can get the job done when it comes to getting guys to swing at pitches, so Mets hitters need to be alert in this game.
Bradenton's pitching's been very good this week. Mets pitching started off good, but giving up 8 runs the last couple of nights. It's been the big inning that's doomed the Mets. They gave up 5 runs in the second inning 2 days ago and 5 runs in the first inning yesterday. For the Mets lineup, leading off, Marco Vargas. He's playing second. Boston Barrow hits second, plays third. Jeffrey Rosa, homering yesterday, bats third. He's in right field. Jose Hernandez is the catcher, hitting cleanup. Colin Houck plays short. He bats fifth. Jairo Cuevas hits sixth. He's at first. Kevin Villavicencio hits eighth. Seventh, he's the DH. Starling Mercado's in left, batting eighth. Diego Mosquera bats ninth. And you did not hear Jesus Baez. He of the 11-game hit streak gets the rare off day. For Bradenton, Kiner Delgado will lead off and plays second. Joshua Palacios bats second and plays right. Shailene Polanco hits third. He's the DH. Esmerlin Valdez, who had the crushing inside-the-park grand slam in the first inning yesterday, bats cleanup. Omar Alfonso bats fifth. He's at first base. Kalai Harrison hits sixth. He's the shortstop. Justin Mickness will catch in at sixth, seventh. Javier Rivas looks good in the field. He's at third base tonight, hitting eighth. And Sergio Campana bats ninth. He is in center. Marauders taking the field one by one on Space Night here at Lee Comm Park. A lot of staffers dressed in astronaut jumpsuits. It's time for the national anthem, which means the St. Lucie Mets pregame show is in the books. We will pause, and when we return, we'll have first pitch on a hot Saturday night for the St. Lucie Mets and the Bradenton Marauders at Lee Comm Park.
Don't settle for loose or ill-fitting dentures. Now, get an exclusive all-new smile from All Smiles Dentistry using a team approach for a smoother implant process that results in a high-quality fit with a lot less time in the chair.
They took care of me like you would not believe.
Call today for a free implant consultation. Visit allsmilesfamilydentist.com right now for your all-new smile.
The biggest, best, and brightest fireworks shows on the Treasure Coast can be witnessed right here at Clover Park on Saturdays throughout the 2023 season. Watch the night sky light up with a spectacular pyrotechnic extravaganza that'll be sure to bring out thousands of oohs and ahs. Purchase your tickets now at the box office or stluciemets.com. Fireworks on a Saturday night is fun for all.
Whether we're miles away or 6 feet apart, we're closer than we've ever been. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we care for everyone, and safety is our top priority. From extra measures at all locations to virtual visits, we're here for you every day. For every procedure and treatment, for every visit with peace of mind, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/access.
This is Paul Taglieri, and you're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
National anthem complete, and it's go time for the Mets and the Marauders. Game 5 of a 6-game series, and the teams are meeting for the 5th of their 12 total games this season. Bradenton makes the return trip to Port St. Lucie in August. Bradenton leads the current series 4-0. They are on an 8-game winning streak. The Mets are on a season-high 7-game losing streak. Mets have been close to a victory twice this week. They've let a couple of late leads slip through their fingers, but that has been an unfortunate common theme throughout the season on the road. Mets top of the lineup will be Marco Vargas, Boston Barrow, and Jeffrey Rosa to lead it off against Christian Curtis. The defense behind Curtis, Mickness is his catcher. First base, Omar Alfonso. Second base, Connor Delgado. Third baseman, Jeremy Rivas. Shortstop, Kalai Harrison. In the outfield, left to right, Valdez, Campana, and the minor league rehabber, Joshua Palacios. Marauders wearing their home whites. Marauders in black across the front, trimmed in gold. Black numbers trimmed in gold on the back. Mets going in their road gray jerseys. They've tried to stay away from those oranges as much as possible this year. Mets in their road grays this year are 3-8. It's 1-5 in the orange duds. Curtis on the mound for Bradenton. He's a 22-year-old right-hander, 6'5", 210 pounds from Beaumont, Texas, drafted in the 12th round by Pittsburgh last summer out of Arizona State. Start number 6 for him. He has 19 strikeouts in 19 innings this year. He's been good his last two starts combined. 3 earned runs in 9 innings with just 6 hits. Bradenton has pitched extremely well for about a month now. That's been a big reason why they've been able to climb out of the Florida State League basement. Home plate umpire Michael Cross signals for the first pitch. Here it comes from Curtis. It's a fastball low to Marco Vargas, and we are underway. First pitch at 6:33. It's 84 degrees and clear at Lecom Park tonight. Thanks for coming along. Let's make it a good one. As Vargas takes a fastball at 96 for strike one. Marco off the IL to start the week, but has only played in one game this series. Walked 3 times 2 nights ago. Checks his swing here. Did he go on appeal? No. Pedro Powell, base umpire, signaling that. Vargas, 5 for 16 with 7 walks in 5 games this season. Had a nagging wrist injury since the start of the year. He's limited in just 5 games. 2-1 pitch inside for ball 3.
And the Mets would love to get off to a hot start today and try to get that confidence up. You've had a tough time over the last week and a half, so if you can get going quickly offensively, that should help them in today's game.
Vargas stings one in the right field down for a base hit. Got a 3-1 fastball at 97 miles per hour and roped it into right field. He'll take his walks, but he wants to hit two. Now 6 for 17 on the year. So a good start, and that brings up Boston Barrow. And a great game yesterday. 8 of the 9 Mets in the lineup recorded a hit. He had 3. Hits in 3 consecutive innings, including a pair of doubles. Quick pickoff throw, safe. Vargas nearly nabbed. Mets had a critical pickoff at first base yesterday with Villavicencio in the 7th inning. Don't want to get caught early here. Vargas, a good lead. He's got good speed. He likes the steal. Curtis, the pitch home, fouled away for strike one, and that one caught a piece of the catcher, Mickness. Michael Cross, the home plate umpire, will walk halfway out before tossing the ball to Curtis. Cross calling his own balls and strikes tonight, and the teams do have the challenge system available to them. That's quasi-successful yesterday, 2-for-4. Bradenton, 0-for-3. 0-1 pitch is inside. Slider 87, no good. Barrow got out of the way. 1-1, runner on first, nobody out. Just underway in Bradenton. Slight breeze blowing out to center and right. not as ferocious as it was the first four games. Curtis from the stretch delivers too high. Fastball at 88. Took a lot off that. I would not classify that as a changeup.
88 miles an hour. I mean, that's no easy thing to hit, especially on the changeup.
2-1 pitch, back to the fastball at 96 outside. Three balls and a strike.
And Curtis is a little bit trouble finding the strike zone right now, so the Mets can be aware of that and take advantage, just like Vargas did, getting himself into a 3-1 count. Now Barrow in a similar situation.
The 3-1 right down the pipe. Barrow takes it for strike two.
Well, in classic Boston Barrow fashion, back in a full count once again.
And he took one in his first at-bat. 3-2. Vargas, the lead is growing. There's still a pickoff throw to be made. Pausing. Pitch is swung on and missed. Throw down to second. Needless. Vargas didn't go. Well, Barrow strikes out. I don't know if he had a timeout left, but he should have used it if he did. I think he did because the pitcher, Curtis, was holding as long as possible, trying to keep Vargas stationary, and I think that just held Barrow too long in his batting stance. Did not look like a fluid swing. So Vargas still at first. I love that Mignus threw down a second, even though Vargas had no intentions of running. Here's the big fella, 19-year-old from the Dominican, slugged his first St. Lucie home run yesterday. Also got hit by a pitch. He's reached safely in all three games, hit safely in all three games as well.
Not a bad start at all, joining St. Lucie. You'd like to keep that going today.
Tied up on a fastball at 97, and it's nothing and two.
You know, the Marauders are lucky that throw down a second was on target. Because if that one gets into center field, Vargas could be standing on second now.
0-2 coming to Rosa. He takes it high and wide. That's a good eye. He has showed a good eye. Not really overextended himself many times in his at-bat so far. Sometimes you worry about those young guys coming up from the Dominican Summer League or FCL chasing too much. I mean, he's not shown to be a chaser. 1-2. He hits this ball a mile high. If it's fair, it's going to be gone. That one is fair. Bye-bye baseball. A towering shot by Jeffrey Rosa lands in the Mets bullpen. Somebody down there caught it and celebrated. A moonshot for Rosa and a 2-0 lead for the Mets. And he's provided pop. Two home runs in two games.
Well, how about that? On Space Night, trying to show off, putting that one into orbit, sent it down there to left field, and he's showing off his power. Already two home runs on the season. Exactly the start the Mets wanted here to get on the board early in this game.
Came on a two-strike pitch. So the Mets, not a power-hitting team, have now hit three home runs the last two nights. Three home runs the last five innings, exactly. One of those by this man right here, Jose Hernandez, who fouls one off to the left. He hit a two-run shot yesterday into left center. Swings and misses at a fastball at 97. Jeffrey Rosa hit 15 home runs in 44 games last year in the Dominican Summer League. This single-A Florida State League, a different animal, but you could not have asked for a better start. He's got two in four games. Pitch is high. Exit velocity on the Rosa home run, 102.3 miles per hour. Launch angle, 37 degrees. It was way up there. And he tucked it into the corner, landing in the Mets bullpen just beyond the wall. No distance listed, but talking in the 340s, 350s. Here's a ground ball sharply hit to third. Rivas throws across the diamond to retire Hernandez. Two outs in the inning.
Well, and to go back to Rosa, too, on the home run, we talked about Adam, how he has a good eye, and it just goes to show you that a good eye not only helps you draw more walks, but it puts more pressure on the pitcher. He's throwing more pitches. You can wait for that mistake pitch and take advantage of it, and that's exactly what Rosa did.
Now Colin Houck at the plate takes the ball low. Well, Colin's been in a tough slump here. He's been consistently batting at the top of the order, but today drops down to the fifth spot. Let's see if that provides him some better pitches to see. As this breaking ball is a called strike.
It can always be hard for guys when they get into these slumps and breaking out of it. You can get in your head a little bit. Listen, Colin's a very talented hitter. He's one of the top Mets prospects. Just needs to try and take it one bat at a time right now.
Oh, Houck sends one high and deep to left center field. Back to the wall is Campana, and he's got it on the back of the warning track. Houck claps his hands together, holds them on his helmet as he rounds second. Oh, so close. If he had the win from the previous four nights, that's a home run. He just missed. Jeffrey Rosa did not. His two-run shot has given the Mets the early lead.
Like a breath of fresh air, Wilder is making its debut on the Treasure Coast, and new homes are now available from the 300s. At Wilder, residents will explore their wild side and enjoy exciting resort-style amenities, park-like greenways, and a large lakefront recreation area. Learn more about this exciting new community today by visiting livewilder.com. It's time to live wild.
Every Saturday this season, the St. Lucie Mets will be sporting custom-themed jerseys that fans can bid on. Each jersey benefits a different local charity and will be autographed by the player who is wearing it. To bid on jerseys, please visit stluciemets.com/auction. And don't forget to join us for each of our themed nights. You can find the full list at stluciemets.com.
To those of you on the front lines, in the back of the house, making it work, but wanting to make a change for the better. At Indian River State College, we make change possible with affordable, sensible, expertly taught degree programs. Earn a bachelor's degree, associate's degree, or certificate in the trades in over 100 programs. The change you want is within your reach. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Let's get back to the field.
Wyatt Hudepohl has been given a 2-0 lead. Let's see how he does. Mets' previous two pitchers out of last year's college draft from the college ranks, Cade Morris and Jack Winninger, both pitched well outside of 1 5-run inning for each. Hudepohl hoping to avoid that and just pitched well, period. He faces Kiner Delgado and throws a fastball outside for ball one. Hudepohl looked like he started a round into form last series at home against Jupiter. Made two starts in that series on the opening of the series in the last game. Gets a foul ball here. The opener against the Hammerheads on Tuesday, April 30th, 5 innings, 1 unearned run. And on Sunday, 3 shutout innings, just 1 hit. Breaking ball grounded to second. This is speared by Vargas. Throws to first, and Delgado is out.
Good, efficient start there from Hudepohl, which is what he's done all season long. And Adam, one thing the Mets pitching staff has done really well is limit how many pitchers they've needed to use. That can be a big factor for teams late into these series when they've had to go through multiple pitchers, but Mets have done well even though they've had a couple innings that have struggled in to just use two guys.
Here's Joshua Palacios. He takes the ball low. He's on minor league rehab assignment. You're exactly right, Jake. I cannot recall the season that the Mets have had to use two pitchers, and that's it, so many times this early. Palacios flies one to center, grabbed by Mosquera. Two down. And at the 31 games in, off the top of my head, can't think of all the games, but yesterday it was just Winninger and Mercedes. You go back to the opener, it was just Tresser and Loper. You go back to a 4-0 loss to Jupiter. Last Saturday, it was just Mercedes and Wenninger. So, yeah, that's pitching. This piggyback setup has worked well. Shailene Polanco, one of the heroes last night for Bradenton, at the plate, takes a ball and then another ball. Pretty close. Polanco, a two-out, bases-empty double in the bottom of the ninth yesterday. One pitch later, a single. He scored, and the game was over. Looked like we were destined for extra innings. Ground ball to first. Wenninger's going to cover the bag, receives the toss from Cuevas. Inning over. Well, this is a beautiful start for the Mets. They get a two-run homer on offense and a 1-2-3 inning on the mound from Hudepohl. They go to the second. 2-0 St. Lucie.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Keep up with the St. Lucie Mets this season by following us on our social channels. Use the handle at St. Lucie Mets to find us on X, Instagram, and TikTok. There you will find the latest and greatest Mets content like exclusive videos, game highlights, the inside scoop on Clover Park promotions, team information, weather updates, and more. Find us and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/St. Lucie Mets. And make sure to visit stluciemets.com, too. It's all happening on social media this season, so follow along and don't be left out.
The baseball season may start in St. Lucie, Florida, but with an average temperature of 77 degrees, 21 miles of pristine beaches, more than 20 world-class golf courses, and miles of lush nature trails, there's something for the whole family to enjoy. St. Lucie is home to year-round warm sunshine, blue skies, and turquoise blue water. So there's never a bad time to plan your next vacation. Visit stlucie.com/Mets to get started. St. Lucie, Florida, where the season never ends.
You're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Jairo Cuevas will lead off for the Mets in the second inning against Christian Curtis. 2-0 Mets as Cuevas takes the ball outside. Jeffrey Rosa starting the season in extended spring training, played in two complex games before getting promoted to St. Lucie as Cuevas fouls this one back. He comes over when Morabito and Suero go up, thinking, well, that's a tough act to follow. Those two were playing really well, but Morabito, not a power hitter, as this ball is yanked foul. I mean, Suero hit two of the longest home runs we've seen in the last two seasons, but he was not a big power hitter either. Rosa providing pop in a way that Mets have not had since the start of this season. They came in to yesterday's game with 7 home runs as a team, second fewest. As time is called, the previous foul ball never got picked up in right field. Somebody wake up down there in the Bradenton bullpen. Come on now. Now what's happened? Now we got something. Oh, boy, we got animal loose in the field. Animal loose. Animal loose in the outfield. In the left field, it's a possum. No, it's a turtle. Oh, my gosh, it's a turtle.
How did a turtle get out?
How in the world did a turtle get out?
Well, you know, there is that little lake. Right behind the scoreboard.
Yeah, the retention pond. So you got 3 Bradenton outfielders converging around this turtle. That turtle was moving pretty fast. I thought it was a possum at first. And they're chasing it off with the glove. Oh, now somebody from the bullpen's going to get brave enough and pick it up. Hey, there you go. He's raising it like he's Mufasa to the crowd. Jake, you see what number that is for the Bradenton bullpen?
I can't quite tell.
24. Who's 24 for Bradenton? That's Magdiel Cotto. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cotto. How in the world did a turtle get to the middle of left center field?
Well, that's what I'm wondering for my, because I know that lake's behind the scoreboard, but that's a long way away. I don't know where he could have crawled out of.
Yeah, how long
to get
was
on
he,
the field?
How long was he there for? Well, first off, as Cuevas calls timeout, Cuevas' foul ball that was ripped down the right field line bounced back into play as he swings and misses and strikes out. It bounced from foul ground and then rolled all the way to the outfield and wedged underneath the wall. And the right fielder, Palacios, had no interest in going to pick it up. Nobody from the Bradenton dugout bullpen was going to get it. That was the initial call timeout while somebody retrieved that. And then we're like, well, what's happening now? And you look out left center, and you got Valdez and Campana trying to wrangle this turtle. As Villavicencio takes a strike. And, yeah, that's the big question is, how long was that turtle out there for? How did he get out there that fast, or was he out there for the last 20 minutes and nobody saw him? He was booking it, though. Once they got near him,
he was moving.
Yeah, he paddled his little.
He didn't hide. He didn't go into his shell. He ran.
He did.
Baseball. There you go. For it. See something new every day.
Reptile on the field. Pitches outside. At first, I did think it was a possum because it was just stationary. And then as the players got closer, it started to move a little bit. And you get the binoculars out and say, oh, my, that's a turtle. A 1-2 pitch is fouled away. Villavicencio coming to life here. Two hits on Thursday. Another hit and a walk. Or one hit in an RBI yesterday. Go along with his very steady defense. 1-2 pitch from Curtis gets away. Two balls, two strikes. Pitch home for ball three, full count.
Well, Adam, we're going to have to do some investigating later to try and figure out how that turtle got out there. It might keep me up at night for a little bit.
How did he get out there? When did he get out there?
So many questions.
3-2 on the way. Grounded to short. Charged by Harrison, throws on the run and retires Villavicencio. Two up, two down. Four straight retired by Curtis since the two-run home run by Rosa. But yeah, Jake, we took a lap around the ballpark pregame just to get the legs moving, and we did notice that there was the pond out beyond the left field wall, a retention pond. Excess water can be drained off into, and if you know anything about Florida, if there's a body of water, there's something living in it, whether it's natural or man-made. But really, there's nowhere else it could be because this is, we're all basically plopped on a street corner here at Leecom Park. Not some nature preserve right around the corner here. It is Florida. You never know where you're going to find reptiles, animals. Mercado waits on the 0-2 pitch and takes it outside. 2-0 Mets, two outs, nobody on. In the top of the second inning. Curveball outside. First one of those we've seen. Curtis wearing the pink cleats. Mother's Day tomorrow. We saw Cade Morris had those on Thursday night for his start. 2-2 to Mercado, and he fouls it away to stay alive. Probably see a bevy of pink cleats, gloves, tape, wristbands, maybe even a bat or two tomorrow. Hi, Mom. Two-two pitch. Popped up in foul ground in the infield. It looks like Curtis is going for it, and he makes the catch. He was the only one. Pop up to the pitcher in foul territory. Ball did not have enough height for the first baseman or catcher to reach it. Inning over, we go to the home second, 2-0 Mets.
Dr. Michael C. Solomon is a doctor who cares and always puts his patients first. He's a board-certified surgeon with over 16 years of experience. He has a great medical staff that's compassionate and knowledgeable. If you're in pain or suffer extreme discomfort from kidney stones, prostate or bladder problems, erectile dysfunction, or any other urological problems, call Solomon Urology. Dr. Solomon offers the most current medical and surgical alternatives to resolve your urologic problems.
The Mets are proud to offer affordable and flexible ticket packages so fans of all ages and families of all sizes can see the Mets of the future at Clover Park. Stop by the ticket office or stlucymets.com to purchase single game tickets or a 10-game flex pack, all for low cost. General admission tickets start at just $10. Purchase our 10-game flex pack, which features 10 undated tickets for only $80. Groups of 15 or more can get an even bigger discount. Inquire with our group sales team at the ballpark. We'll see you at Clover Park in 2024.
Hi, I'm Chief Richard Del Toro of the Port St. Lucie Police Department. In 2021, City Council voted to reduce the speed limit in all our residential neighborhoods from 30 to 25 miles per hour. The police department is committed to keeping our streets safe, and we will continue our traffic enforcement actions in residential neighborhoods.
Can you drive the speed limit? Because I walk in the dark to my bus stop.
I walk to school and you drive to work.
I like to ride my bike in the neighborhood.
This is St. Lucie Mets General Manager Treyer Van Allen, and you're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Wyatt Hudepohl, breezy first inning, 1-2-3 on 8 pitches. We'll deal in the home second to Esmerlin Valdez, who's homered in consecutive games, one out of the park, one in the park. First pitch, he fouls it back overhead. Goodness for that net. Well, J.D. Martinez, late spring training signing. The big hit today saves the Mets from the indignity of getting no hit at home against the hated Braves. A two-out, bottom of the ninth home run for the Mets' first hit.
Former St. Lucie legend,
yeah.
J.D. Martinez.
Mets actually got two hits in that game. Harrison Bader got one after that. Pitches inside to Valdez. Yes, J.D. Martinez was a St. Lucie Met. Not on rehab. He was just an option to St. Lucie Met. Let's not forget. We got him ready, Jake. Pitches inside corner for a strike. 2-2, fastball at 93. Braves still won 4-1. They've won both games in that series at Citi Field. 2-2 pitch, breaking ball, fouled away. Down the left field side.
Well, sometimes in the game of baseball, you got to take the little things when they go right. So always breaking up that no-hitter can do well for your confidence. Hopefully they can carry that over now into the next game. Come back with a win.
Mets in that big stretch. Seven straight games at home against the Braves and Phillies so far, 0-2. Still time to turn that around. 2-2 pitch. Hudepohl misses inside. Not only do the Mets have to deal with the Braves and Phillies, they might have to deal with the Nationals now. Washington. Game better. 3-2 pitch from Hudepohl, and he fires it inside for a strike to Valdez. It's challenged immediately and upheld. First strikeout of the night for Hudepohl. Mets pitchers have double-digit strikeouts in all four games completed in this series. Hudepohl has some work to do after taking four batters in to get the first strikeout. I tease.
Well, we've had a lot of different things happen over the course of this season. You've had the great pitching performances, great hitting performances, reptiles on field, crazy challenges, called strikes. One thing that's been consistent throughout the entire season has been Mets pitching with the strikeouts. They've been very good all season long.
Alfonso is next. I, as promised to those who listened last night, I did the research. How many double-digit strikeout games have the Mets recorded? We have a called strike and a challenge by Alfonso, and he wins it. That's a risky challenge after you just lost one in the second inning moments ago. He just turned a 2-1 count into a 3-0 count. He was convinced. Hudepohl misses low for ball four, four-pitch walk. So, what's the result? How many double-digit strikeout games do the Mets have through 31 games completed? Answer 23 would be correct. 23 games of 10-plus strikeouts.
I was going to say 25. That was close.
There were a couple 9-strikeout games in there that didn't make the cut. Fastball zipped in for strike one to Kalai Harrison. Mets yesterday, 16. 10 for Wenninger, 6 for Mercedes. The problem was 8 walks mixed in. It was a throwback to the 2021 season. A half swing and a miss by Harrison. Might have got a piece, but either way, it's nothing in two. One on, one out, 2-0 St. Lucie in the bottom of the second. Hudepohl set from the stretch. We'll throw over to first. Cuevas makes the catch, no tag. Mets entered the day with 360 total strikeouts, 240 innings. Sixth most in all of minor league baseball out of 120 teams. Pitch home is grounded out to second. This could be two. Vargas flips with the glove. The relay throw is going to be in time from Hauk. Well done, Vargas to Hauk. Love to see that middle infield combination get it done. As Kalai Harrison hits into the twin killing 4-6-3. Hudepohl has faced the minimum through two scoreless hitless. It's 2-0 Mets. You're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Hey, baseball fans.
Well, that really surprised me.
If you're not watching MLB Tonight every night, you're missing something.
I don't know if I've ever seen that happen.
With live look-ins and highlights from every game, plus breakdowns from TV's best analysts, MLB Tonight goes around the league to bring you the whole picture.
I've never seen a night like this.
Don't miss MLB Tonight every night on MLB Network. Go to findmlbnetwork.com for TV channel number.
Beer, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, hamburgers, chicken fingers, french fries, and more. Find all your favorite ballpark fare at one of our fully stocked concession stands on the Clover Park Concourse. Be sure to stop by the Corona Beach House in left field to grab a rum bucket or delicious cocktail. Enjoy the game the way it was meant to be, with an ice cold beverage in hand and a full belly. Let's rejoin tonight's Florida State League game.
Third inning, Mets lead 2-0. Want to make a quick correction. Mets coming into today at 360 strikeouts through 270 innings, not 240. They've done that through 240, then we're talking about probably history somewhere. But 360 through 270 ain't bad. As Diego Mascara leads off, last Met to hit today. It's normal ninth spot. First pitch, he pops it up, out of play, foul. This one land on the roof. Yep, there it is. 2-0 St. Lucie, thanks to the Jeffrey Rosa home run, third batter into the game. 0-1 pitch. This is inside on Mascara, who should be rested, got the night off. Mets missed his defense yesterday in the outfield. Ground ball deep in the hole at short, scooped up by Harrison. The throw is scooped at first base by Alfonso. Yes. It's a nice play on both ends. Harrison rushed the throw a tad, but he had to really range out to his right and swooped in. Nice play.
Credit where credit is due. It is a very nice play defensively for the Marauders. It's a tough throw to make when you're trying to go quick. Mosquera's got a little bit of speed on him, too, and a fantastic scoop. Especially if that ball gets away, that could spell trouble.
Back to the top of the order, and Vargas singled and scored in the first on that. Rosa homer is such a difference maker to have him in the lineup in that leadoff spot. Rounds one out to second. This is picked up by Delgado. Quick throw to first, close play, but he's out. Christian Curtis has settled in nicely for the Marauders. He's retired everybody since the Rosa home run. That's seven straight. And Boston Barrow will dig in. Two outs, nobody on. Curtis delivers a slider down and in, ball one. Fastball in the corner at 92. Called the strike, and it's 0-2. Correction, 1-1. Barrow, big cut and a miss. Barrow, 5-for-10. His last two games with three doubles. He will use the timeout out of the 1-2 pitch.
Sometimes it could take a little bit of time for guys to jump up when they get called up, but Barrow has come out swinging ever since he's joined St. Lucie.
1-2, fights it off the other way. Guy was drafted in the eighth round by New York last year, didn't break camp with the team, but was one of the first position players called over. Now 1-2 pitch, a bouncer, full couple of feet in front of home plate. Two balls, two strikes, and Jake, he's close. He's close again to a full count. By the way, did you ever do the research? The Jupiter Series, how many pitches he saw? That one slipped by the goalie.
We haven't checked yet. I will have that, though, for us on the next broadcast.
2-2 pitch. Stinger, one hop out to short. This is Harrison again with a throw, and he gets Barrow by a half step. Three ground outs in the top of the third for the Mets at the plate. We'll go to the home half. Still 2-0 Mets on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Tutto Fresco Restaurant and Patio Grill, located at the entrance to PGA Village, offers regional Italian cuisine accompanied by an extensive selection of wine and spirits. We feature traditional Italian recipes from various regions of Italy, celebrating our owner's family heritage. Our goal is to provide an authentic Italian dining experience with uncompromising service. Tutto Fresco, a slice of Italy in the heart of the Treasure Coast.
If you're a Mets fan or a baseball fan 55 years or older, you're invited to become a member of the world-famous Silver Sluggers. What are the perks? How about free admission and parking to all Tuesday games, select Wednesday games, a free hot dog every Tuesday, and an exclusive Silver Slugger t-shirt. Packages start at just $50. Join the nearly 1,000-strong Silver Sluggers who root on the Mets from Clover Park every Tuesday. It's a golden opportunity for the golden age.
Today begins a new journey. Not only will you learn something new and elevate your opportunities, but you'll also discover your purpose.
I'm finding a way to serve my community at Indian River State College.
My nursing degree will go to work where it's needed most.
Using my hands, I can make a dream career come true.
Start a new life-changing chapter with Indian River State College. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Now, back to Mets baseball.
Adam McDonald, Jake Ricker back with you from Leecom Park in Bradenton, Florida. Game 5 of a 6-game series. Mets looking for their first win of the series. Bradenton going to go an epic 9 consecutive wins What a homestand they are on for their Marauder fans. Bottom of the order, starting with Mickness at the plate. 2-0 Mets as Hudepohl delivers. Too high with the slider for ball one. Mickness appeared in his first game of the series yesterday, went 0-2. They've subbed him out late. The game on the line for a pinch hitter. Pitch is a called strike. That pinch hitter, by the way, Garrett Forster, top 20 Pirates prospect, third-round draft pick out of Oregon State, placed on the injured list today. Tapper foul. Forster was really a force early in this series, and he was coming on strong as Bradenton has surged. Not sure what happened to Forster, but played yesterday as the pinch hitter, walked, and then surprised to get that alert that he was on the IL. No word why. 1-2 pitches, a hard ground ball to Cuevas. He's going to have to throw to Hudepohl. Wyatt's there in plenty of time. Second 3-1 put out today. The Cuevas-Hudepohl combination.
Hudepohl staying efficient. Only has the one strikeout in this game, but every other pitch has been on the ground or at least in the air for to be catchable by an outfielder. So making things easy on the Mets defense so far.
Yeah, the one fly out, the air out, easy can of corn to center. Everything else has been on the ground. Got the nice double play. I like this Mets defensive alignment today. The infield. This pitch is swung on and missed. Already seen it with the Vargas and Hauk. Double play combination up the middle. Cuevas probably the best option at first base. The ball fouled back by Rivas. It's one and one.
And we know what Mosquera can do in the outfield as well. He had been playing left field, center field today.
One one. Check swing didn't go. Yesterday, certainly some troubles in the outfields. A couple of times leading to some runs. A 1-2 pitch swung on and missed with the changeup. Rivas strikes out. Second one of the night for Hudepohl, and he has a chance now to face the minimum through the first three innings. Picking up right where he left off last week against Jupiter.
Anytime you can get a guy holding his position with the bat outstretched like that, that's how you know you threw a good pitch. Got it way outside, got him fishing at it. That can strike out of the day.
Campana with the big cut and miss. Offering 85. A one outside. One pitch is hit high and deep to right field. Long run for Rosa. He lunges up. And he makes the catch. He did. Wow. Jeffrey Rosa first flashes the wood and now the leather. He sold out to make that catch over his head, leaping and falling to the ground. Play of the night defensively for St. Lucie. Play of the week. Hudepohl. Looking sharp early. We'll go to the middle innings. It's 2-0 Mets.
The biggest Mets fan is also the biggest fan of adventures in St. Lucie, Florida. Mr. Met wants your family to visit St. Lucie for epic home runs, eating hot dogs at the park, walking through art spaces, rounding the beaches, or just sliding into vacation bliss. Start planning now at visitstlucie.com/Mets. St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, and Hutchinson Island, where the season never ends.
Orange and blue will look good on you, and you can find those colors at the Clover Park Fan Shop. Hats, jerseys, t-shirts, polos, shorts, sweatshirts, plus collectibles, and plenty more. Anything a casual or diehard Mets fan could want can be found in the Fan Shop. The Fan Shop is open on game days starting at 3 p.m. Tuesday to Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday. You can shop 24/7 online at stlucimets.com. Be sure to check back for special deals throughout the season. Now get shopping.
Best tailgate, brisket.
No, real football y pollo asado.
Hoops and wings. Dude, subs.
Hot dogs.
Chili dogs.
No, Dodger dog.
It's gotta be crawfish.
Now you're talking. Burgers.
Seven-layer dip. Ribs.
No contest.
Hummus.
What?
You need a hot grill.
And an ice-cold Coke.
Of course.
Football and Coke. Come on.
It's got to be Coke.
Game day.
Race day.
Calls for Coke.
You know it.
Grab yourself a Coke.
It's tailgate 101.
Now let's get back to the action.
We're in the top of the fourth. For the next three innings, Jake Ricker will take over the play-by-play. Jake, have at it.
Thank you, Adam. And Curtis back out on the mound for the Marauders here as we get set to start the fourth. First pitch is low for ball one. He will face off here against Jeffrey Rosa, who had the home run for the Mets back in the first inning. Two-run shot. His second home run on the season. That pitch is outside, and it's ball two. Rosa showing off that good eye again, getting himself into an early 2-0 count. And a big cut and a miss there on the fastball. Now, 2-1 from Curtis. That's too low, and it's ball three.
Rosa's had a great night, the home run, that fabulous catch and right. Trying to get on for a second time.
The 3-1, and that's in there for a called strike. So the count runs full. Curtis up to 54 pitches so far. He's settled in very nicely ever since the two-run home run from Rosa.
And nobody's made it on since. Rosa's had at least one hit and one walk in his first two games. Trying to go for the three-peat there.
And a line drive that's through for a base hit into left field. And Rosa continues his hot start today, and he's 2-for-2 and has a Mets hit since his hit in the first.
Much better than a walk. Line drive single.
And that one coming at 97 off of the bat. Rivas made the stretch for it, but couldn't quite get there, so now it's going to be a runner on first for Jose Hernandez. First pitch fouled back, straight over top of the ballpark. Hernandez grounded out back in the first inning. And this pitch is in the dirt. And it's 2-1-1. And the Mets got the two runs in the first inning from the home run, but they would love to add more. As we have seen in this series, things can change quickly. Of course, we hope that the pitching for St. Lucie continues its strong start, with Hudepohl having faced the minimum so far. Rose on first, nobody out, 1-1. In there for a called strike, and it's 1-2. Curtis is 1-2. This one's fouled, and the count will stay at 1-2 now. Have to keep our eye on Rose over on first. He started to go on the foul ball. Pitch on the way. And a high fly ball. This one into left field. And that's going to be caught for the first out by Valdez.
Valdez caught that ball low, but he use two hands, which is the right way to do it. I think the wind might have pushed that closer towards the infield than he thought off the bat.
Certainly off the bat, it was a pretty good swing, and it definitely came in on him. He does a nice job to make the catch, and there's one away. And a swing and a miss here from Colin Houck. Houck had that long fly ball into left center that just died on the warning track. Houck has been in that slump trying to get out of it. He nearly had a home run to get out of that slump, but just fell a little bit short. Wind not doing him any favors. Pitch is outside, and it's 1-1. Now that's a situation there where it's a good swing from Houck, and hope that gives him a little bit of confidence, and even though it resulted in a flyout, he can try and get another one of those swings off and get himself at least a base hit. One count. In there for a called strike, so 1-2. Mets have the 2-0 lead. Rosa standing on first, 2-for-2 today. And that pitch is in there for a called strike 3. So out down looking. And there's now 2 away in the fourth. So that'll bring up Cuevas to the plate, who struck out swinging back in the second. Try and move Rosa from first with 2 away and try to add to this 2-0 Mets lead. First pitch swinging into left field, and this one's going to get down for a base hit. Nice job by Cuevas to be aggressive in the count. And Rosa now stands on second with 2 away.
Now would be a good time for Viva Sensio to extend his hitting streak to 3 games. By the way, if you're listening, not watching, the MILB Twitter account just put out the video of the turtle. So log on and take a look. Still many questions.
That pitch is in there for a called strike. And it's 0-1. I went back and looked at the broadcast item to see if we could see the turtle hanging out there anywhere at any point. Never saw him. I think the only way he snuck out there, there must be a hole underneath one of those wall panels. This pitch is in the dirt, and the count will move to 1-1.
Yeah, I guess if he takes a direct line from under the wall and gets out there, probably 20, 30 feet. The way he was paddling his little fins there, he could get there pretty quickly.
Curtis is 1-1. That's way inside. And it's 2-1. Valencio had to get out of the way. Pitch on the way, and that's in there for a called strike. Well, deuces are wild now in a 2-2 count with two runners on. Mets leading 2-0. And a check swing. Did he go? Yes, he did.
Yeah, called the home plate, which was surprising. It looked too close for the home plate umpire to call.
And nonetheless, it's a strikeout, which ends the inning. So the Mets get 2 base runners, but cannot extend their lead. They still lead 2-0 after the top of the fourth.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
New in 2024 is the Friday Family Fan Club. For $48 per family member, each member gets a ticket to all Friday games, free parking for all Friday games, 25% off concessions and merchandise at all Friday games, a member pass holder card, and exclusive access to club-only events. That's a savings of over $150 per person. Sign up for the new Friday Family Fan Club at the ticket office or online at stlucymets.com. What a win for the fam.
Let's get back to the field.
Back now here is the St. Lucie Mets taking on the Bradenton Marauders. They lead it 2-0. Lucie trying to end their 7-game losing streak today. And Hudepohl's back on the mound. He's faced the minimum so far through 3 innings. And he'll face off against Delgado, who grounded out back in the first to start this inning.
Yeah, because Cade Morris 2 nights ago and yesterday Jack Winninger got roughed up in the first and second and first innings respectively. They were facing the lineup second time through the order quick. Hudepohl's not going second time through the order until the fourth inning, which you would figure be a check mark in his favor.
Only 33 pitches so far. Swing and a miss there, and it's 1-1. Now 33 pitches through 3 innings. Actually 32, because we've already had a pitch here. This one fouled back, and the count will move to 1-2. That's great efficiency. Anytime you can have about 10 pitches per inning, that's what you're looking to do, and Hudepohl has done that.
Figures to get harder second time through the order. Guys get another crack at him.
Legato 2-for-5 yesterday, 278 on the season with 2 home runs. Line drive into left field. This will be down for a base hit. This one not going to get to the wall as it's cut off by Mercado. The throw is into, but not in time, as Delgado's on second with a stand-up double.
Yeah, good two-strike approach. Shot it the other way. Delgado, a former Yankees farmhand, the end of March, Pirates traded their pitcher JT Brubaker to the Yankees for a player to be named later. 1 month later, they decided that player would be Delgado, playing his first games in the Pirates organization this week.
This is now Palencios at the plate for the Marauders. Flew out back in the first inning. Now has a runner in scoring position here with nobody out, though. And a swing and a miss. It's 1-1.
And that first pitch called the ball, challenged by Jose Hernandez, lost. And that's losing their first challenge. Have 2 left the rest of the night. Same for the Marauders.
And a pickoff attempt back to second. It's thrown over into the outfield. Delgado's going to go to third. Here comes the throw. Not in time. Well, the Mets had Delgado dead to rights at second, but that throw from Hudepohl over the head of Vargas, and now there's a runner on third with nobody out.
Yeah, it's a tough one for Hudepohl. E1 all the way. He just rushed the throw, threw it high, threw it to the wrong side of the bag. He makes a good throw there, and he erases that leadoff double.
So many of these guys have that late jump where they try to time up the pitcher, and Hudepohl knew it, turned around as soon as Delgado made that jump, which is what put him in trouble. First pitch is outside for 1-1.
And the list of things pitchers practice and do mean, pickoff throws to second, probably pretty far down the list. And you got two infielders converging there. It's not an easy play.
This pitch bounced away and gets away from Hernandez, and Delgado is in to score to make this a 2-1 game. And Adam, some issues returning for the Mets.
That's what they saw last night. Just giving up a run without Bradenton swinging the bat. Very costly last night in the seventh inning with the walk, pass ball, wild pitch to tie the game. This time a double with an E1 and wild pitch.
Now a ground ball. This one's fielded by Cuevas. He'll flip to Hudepol in time for the first out of the inning.
For Hudepol, you just try to shake it off and pitch this like that didn't happen. That's all he can do. The way he just snatched that ball back, he's frustrated. No worst enemy on that sequence, but it's over and done with. Bases loaded, bases empty, no outs. You just treat Palacios like a leadoff batter, got him out.
Mets still hold a 2-1 lead. First pitch is outside for a ball, and this is Polanco. The plate for the Marauders. Grounded out back in the first. And a big cut and a miss, and it's 1-1. Hudepol will deal, and that one's too low, so the count moves to 2-1.
And that run right now unearned. I also thought there was a way that if a pitcher was the one who made the error, doesn't count against his ERA, but it was his error. There's no super category for that.
Swing and a miss there, and it's strike two now, so count 2-2. It's the only one out in the inning, but so far, Hudepol, nice job of bouncing back. That's Polanco down to two strikes with one away here in the bottom of the fourth. That one's too far inside, so the count will run full. Payoff pitch. Line drive well foul, though, down the first base side, and Rosa will have to go run and retrieve that one.
Don't expect help from the Bradenton bullpen. You know, Jake, now that you're here, I think after this half inning, I'm going to go take a walk and maybe get something to eat. Booth Bites.
Booth Bites on the road.
Yeah, I haven't found anything yet in Bradenton. It's been so long. I've been here, I really didn't know where to go, but maybe I'll report back.
Payoff pitch again, and that one's too high for a ball, so it'll be a walk to Polanco with one away.
So right away, it's proven to be tougher second time through the order. Double end of walk.
No question about it. Hudepol trying to fight through it, and he's got one down second time through the order, but now he will face Valdez, who struck out in the second. He was playing well, batting .273, four home runs on the season. Pickoff attempt at first, but he's back in safely. Line drive, but this one will carry foul down the third base side.
He was going for that third straight game with the home run. Definitely has the pop. That was well struck.
0-1, runner goes. Throw down to second is going to be not in time. So it's a stolen base for Polanco. The pitch was a ball as well, so it's 1-1.
Yeah, Polanco not a big-time base stealer. That's only his third attempt. Second time making it safely, but Hudepohl slow to the plate. Hernandez, a fairly strong throw, made it interesting and close, but the right call. Now we have pitch clock violation on the batter.
Well, that's going to make it a 1-2 count. Hudepohl now ahead of Valdez. Pitch on the way. This one pops straight back. It is a pretty darn good throw, I would say, by Hernandez. Right on target. Just to the right of the bag, but a little bit behind. And it ends up as a stolen base. A runner in scoring position with one out here in the bottom of the fourth. Runners have scored one to make it a 2-1 game. And a late swing turns into a foul ball. And the count will stay at 1-2. It's trying to hold on to that lead. Hudepohl comes set. Here's the 1-2. That one's too high. And it's 2-2. Mentioned coming into this inning, Hudepohl at just over 30 pitches, now at 53. The 2-2. Fouled off again.
And it might be time to start warming somebody up in the bullpen. You hate to say it, but 20-pitch inning and still one out. Teams don't like to see their prospects really approach 30 pitches in an inning. So, yeah, there's some movement down there in the bullpen.
We'll keep an eye on that as this inning progresses with one away here and a runner on second. 2-2 pitch. And again, fouled off.
Yeah, somebody's going to start throwing right now. And at what point, said it many times this year on the broadcast, there's no secrets left for Hudepohl against Valdez. He's ready to put one in play. So at this stage, it's going to be tough to get one by.
And Hudepohl will try to do it here. Line that's grounded into left field. That's going to get through for a base hit, and they're going to hold at first. Runner goes to second, and that's going to be a double.
Yeah, bad decision by Mercado. Blindly threw home. Runner at third base. Polanco was being held the whole way. Got a bad read on it. Just heaved it home, and right away Valdez scooted up to second base. So instead of being runners at the corners, that throw by Mercado is going to make it second and third. It takes away a double play, and it puts the go-ahead run position in scoring position.
Now we're going to get Jordan Krause out to the mound for a quick meeting.
Yeah, you can see that hit coming a mile away. There's just nothing left for Hudepohl to do. And a couple of nights ago, Valdez at the plate was starting to line up. I forget who exactly it was for the Mets. That might have been Zach Thornton, I think it was, yes. And Thornton eventually got 2-2 and just threw two pitches, see if he can get him to swing and miss on pitches out of the zone. He took him for a walk, and at that point, it's like, take your base. I'm not going to let you damage me with the home run or a big hit. That's essentially where that at-bat was heading.
Five foul balls in that at-bat, and just eventually, Valdez straightens it out and get that one into left field. Luckily for the Mets, though, Polanco was held at third. Runners on third and second now. First pitch in there for a called strike with one away, and the Mets leading 2-1.
Mets defense going to play back. They will surrender the lead to get out number two. I think they're probably more concerned at this stage with making sure that runner at second doesn't get in there.
Line drive into right field. That's down for a base hit. Rosa will throw this one in. And it's going to be a tie game 2-2 as Valdez is held at third.
Yeah, they're just lining up Hudepohl now. He said it would be difficult second time through the order. It's proven to be more difficult than we thought it would as these five batters who have faced Hudepohl second time through have all reached, four have reached base. And they've lined him up here.
And the tough part here for Hudepohl is more than likely he'll have to get at least one more out, as bullpen only recently started warming up. So it's a 2-2 game with runners on the corners now. First pitch grounded, but this one's going to be foul.
And Jake, you mentioned it in the first time through the lineup. A lot of ground balls hit by Bradenton. Those ground balls have now started to turn into line drives. And eventually they turn into much more powerful hits than that. So Hudepohl's got to get back to what he was doing there first time through the order. He's got too much of the plate this inning.
Pitch on the way. And a high line drive. This one going back. But Mercado's there to make the catch. Runner will tag from third and is in to score. So it's a 3-2 Marauders lead.
And the way this inning has unfolded, you need to get Hudepohl to get outs as fast as possible. So Mets, you know, played the infield back there. They're going to surrender the tie. Outfields played regular depth. And Mercado did a nice job to backpedal and make that catch. He hit pretty well.
All things considered, you probably take that out, even though you do surrender the lead here. Still lots of ball game left. First pitch in there for a called strike, this one against Christian Minkins.
But this is not a surprising response. I mean, Bradenton, 9-1 in this homestand, winners at 8 straight. They were not going to go down quietly, trailing 2-0 early.
This pitch is low and outside, and it's a 1-1 count. Alfonso stands on first. Two away here in the bottom of the fourth. Pitch is too low, and it's 2-1.
Now Hudepohl's got to be running out of gas. If he gets Mickness, might have a chance to come back and pitch the next inning. If he doesn't, probably going to have to come out of the game.
Pickoff attempt to first, but well, here's Alfonso back in with plenty of time.
Oh, enjoy the sounds of Bradenton.
Pitch on the way. It's too high for a ball. Some loud sirens going past the ballpark now.
Hopefully everybody's okay. It's happened a couple of times this week.
And this one lined into right field. Rosa giving chase to it, but he won't get there. This one off the wall. Throw coming in. Runner's going to be held at third. And now the play is going to be at the plate, and he is out.
Oh, what a great kick off the wall right to Rosa. Kicked right back to him, and that enabled Rosa to get it to Cuevas. And they got Alfonso home, who just gave himself up.
The third base coach was holding Alfonso all the way at third. I thought he was going to stay, but he ended up going through the side, and he is tagged out at home. So it's a 3-2 Marauders lead, but the Mets end the damage there as we will head to the top of the fifth.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Experience an unforgettable celebration of black baseball history over Memorial Day weekend in Cooperstown, New York. The Hall of Fame East-West Classic, a Legends game in tribute to the traditional Negro Leagues All-Star Game, takes place May 25th at historic Doubleday Field. The East-West Classic is part of a weekend celebration as the museum opens its new exhibit, The Souls of the Game, Voices of Black Baseball. Get your East-West Classic tickets today at baseballhall.org.
Now let's get back to the action.
Back now here at Lecom Park with the Marauders leading it 3-2 after a, you would call, an interesting fourth inning. Hudepohl was so great through the first three, facing the minimum, but that second time through the order proved to be difficult. And the Marauders plate three runs. And they have a 3-2 lead. Could have been more, but after a base hit by Minkins that took a bounce off of the right field wall, Alfonso blew through the stop sign and was tagged well out at home. Now it's the Mets' turn to try and score some runs. First pitch is in there for a called strike. This is to a Sterling Mercado, who popped out back in the first inning. Line drive foul, and it's 0-2. And as Adam mentioned, this isn't going to be easy for the Mets. Marauders playing great baseball over the last week. They've shown it here in their fight back, scoring three in the bottom of the fourth. 0-2 pitch. Too high for ball one. This is Curtis back out on the mound again for the Marauders. And Curtis, after giving up that two-run home run, has settled in. Here's a high fly ball. This one into right field. Going back, and that's off the top of the wall and gone. A home run for Mercado. And the Mets have tied the game. Well, how about that for a response for the Mets? After giving up three runs, Mercado comes through in a big way. Sends that one just over the right field wall. We are all tied at three. That is Mercado's second home run of the season. Pitches outside and low for a ball. This is now Diego Mosquera at the plate. You couldn't ask for a better response for the Mets. A half swing from Mosquera, and that's going to be a strike. So count moves to 1-1. One pitch. Grounded right back towards Curtis. Can't play it. Throw to first is going to be in time, though, from the charging Harrison. So a nice job by him to grab that ball after Curtis tried to stab it behind his back. And now one down here in the top of the fifth. And first pitch is in there for a called strike. This is Vargas, top of the lineup now for the Mets. That one's too low, and it's a ball. The home run for Mercado, 103 exit velocity, launch angle 25 degrees. That pitch is too low for a ball, and it's 2-1. No distance listed on our stats here, but that one just over the right field line. Call it 350. And that's in there for a called strike, and we're going to get a challenge here from Mosquera, and he wins that one. So, and the count is now 3-1. And that pitch is outside for ball four. So Mosquera comes back on the challenge and draws a walk. Or excuse me, Vargas. My apologies. Vargas will head to first base with the walk. That'll bring up Boston Barrow now to the plate for his third time up. And we're going to get a meeting on the mound now for Curtis. And it looks like it's going to be a pitching change. So that'll do it. For Curtis, his day is done after 82 pitches. We'll take a quick break here on the St. Lucie Mets broadcast. Be right back after this.
Don't settle for loose or ill-fitting dentures. Now, get an exclusive all-new smile from All Smiles Dentistry using a team approach for a smoother implant process that results in a high-quality fit with a lot less time in the chair.
They took care of me like you would not believe.
Call today for a free implant consultation. Visit AllSmilesFamilyDentist.com right now for your all-new smile.
The biggest, best, and brightest fireworks shows on the Treasure Coast can be witnessed right here at Clover Park on Saturdays throughout the 2023 season. Watch the night sky light up with a spectacular pyrotechnic extravaganza that'll be sure to bring out thousands of oohs and ahs. Purchase your tickets now at the box office or stlucymets.com. Fireworks on a Saturday night is fun for all.
Whether we're miles away or 6 feet apart, we're closer than we've ever been. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we care for everyone, and safety is our top priority. From extra measures at all locations to virtual visits, we're here for you every day. For every procedure and treatment, for every visit with peace of mind, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/access.
This is Paul Taglieri, and you're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Back now with the Mets taking on the Marauders. New pitcher on the mound for Bradenton. It's Jordan De La Pez. 2024 so far, he is 3-0 with a 1.72 ERA. He's appeared in 9 games, 15 and 2/3 innings pitched. With 17 strikeouts. So a good start for him here in 2024. Face off against Boston Barrow. And a pickoff attempt towards first, but Vargas back in time. Now one away here in the top of the fifth after the Mets responded with a Mercado home run to tie this game at 3. Pitches outside, and it's 1-0. Barrow now looking to try and get the runners moving and continue this inning for the Mets. That's in there for a called strike, and it's 1-1. Barrow batting .265 right now. He's been excellent since coming up for the Mets from the Florida Complex League. There's a swing and a miss, and it's 1-2. Two pitch. Line drive into left field. And this one's going to be caught, and Vargas will have to head back to first. Valdez, nice job tracking that one down. And there's two away in the fifth. And now it's going to be Jeffrey Rosa, who is 2-for-2 so far today. Had the home run in the first. And a single in the fourth. Looking to make it 3-for-3. With two away and Vargas on first. Another pickoff attempt. Vargas back in time. And the disengagement's reset when you get a new batter. So it's the first one of this at bat. Still the two to work with. Fidel Lopez. Pitches in there for a called strike. And it's 0-1 to Rosa. Rosa now batting .455 after today. Came into this game batting .333. Runner's going to go, and this one's fouled off. So Vargas will have to head back to first. .333 ball game here in the fifth with two away and a runner on first. It's been a fun one so far here in Bradenton. The 0-2, runner goes outside for a ball. Throw to second is going to be in time for the out. Vargas nearly got there, but it's a good throw from Minkins. And that will end the inning. but not before Mercado sends one over the wall, and the Mets have tied the game at 3 as we head to the bottom of the 5th.
Like a breath of fresh air, Wilder is making its debut on the Treasure Coast. And new homes are now available from the 300s. At Wilder, residents will explore their wild side and enjoy exciting resort-style amenities, park-like greenways, and a large lakefront recreation area. Learn more about this exciting new community today by visiting livewilder.com. It's time to live wild.
Every Saturday this season, the St. Lucie Mets will be sporting custom-themed jerseys that fans can bid on. Each jersey benefits a different local charity and will be autographed by the player who is wearing it. To bid on jerseys, please visit stluciemets.com/auction. And don't forget to join us for each of our themed nights. You can find the full list at stluciemets.com.
To those of you on the front lines, and in the back of the house, making it work, but wanting to make a change for the better. At Indian River State College, we make change possible with affordable, sensible, expertly taught degree programs. Earn a bachelor's degree, associate's degree, or certificate in the trades in over 100 programs. The change you want is within your reach. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Let's get back to the field.
Welcome back now as the Mets have tied the game 3-3 after a Mercado home run. Adam, the Marauders were doing a race out there in left field, and the Marauders mascot took out one of the contestants.
Marty the Marauder. Got to watch out for him.
Here's a show point. Hernandez picks it up, throws to first, and not in time. So a quick punt. And the Marauders have a base runner. That was Rivas.
Well, for that last inning, the Mets, you know, they get the tying home run. They force a pitching change. That gave Wyatt Hudepo at least some time to catch his breath. That very lengthy fourth inning where he faced 7 batters, gave up 4 hits, got the fortunate ricochet up the wall. That led to Alfonso being thrown out at the plate. They jumped on him right quick here, that bunt single.
First pitch is too low for a ball, and it's 1-0.
So, Jake, I go to the snack bar down there, and they've been showing all week long on this video board during the game.
Runner goes. Pitch is a ball. Throw to second. Not in time. And it's going to be a stolen base.
Bunt single and stolen base, and right away, Braden's got the time. Go ahead and run right back in scoring position. Anyway, so they've been showing this advertisement for sweet and boozy ice cream. The way this week's going, I said, I got to try some of this. Now I got the non-alcoholic option.
This one lined into center. That's down for a base hit. Rivas going to round second. This time he is held, though. And Campana's got to head back to first as that throw came in. So it's runners on the corners with nobody out.
All right, so first time through the order, only one base runner against Hudepo. Second time through the order, a double, a walk, a single, a single, a double, a single, a single. So they totally won round two. Now as we go against them a third time, what can Hudepo do? We're going to try this cookies and cream, boozy and sweet ice cream. Again, non-alcoholic. So what's the difference between that and regular ice cream then?
I'm not sure.
Good report question. Back momentarily as I dig in.
Drive right to first base for the out. And that, I believe, is going to be a double play.
Yeah, sure. Sure enough. Line drive caught by Cuevas. Campana running on the play out all the way up to second base. Looks back and says, oh, well, it didn't work out.
And they tried the hit and run, but it's right to Cuevas on the hit from Delgado, and now two away with a runner on third. So a nice job, big break for the Mets. Trying to keep this a tie game. Pitch in there for a called strike. And it's 0-1 now to Joshua Palencios. Runner going all the way to home. He's going to try and steal, and he's tagged out. And that's going to end the inning. What a wild inning there. And what the Mets end it.
What is happening? Bringing him a bases.
Tried to steal home. The throw came in, and he's tagged out. So it's a 3-3 game, and we are through five innings.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Keep up with the St. Lucie Mets this season by following us on our social channels. Use the handle at St. Lucie Mets to find us on X, Instagram, and TikTok. There you will find the latest and greatest Mets content like exclusive videos, game highlights, the inside scoop on Clover Park promotions, team information, weather updates, and more. Find us and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/St. Lucie Mets. And make sure to visit stluciemets.com, too. It's all happening on social media this season, so follow along and don't be left out.
The baseball season may start in St. Lucie, Florida, but with an average temperature of 77 degrees, 21 miles of pristine beaches, more than 20 world-class golf courses, and miles of lush nature trails, there's something for the whole family to enjoy. St. Lucie is home to year-round warm sunshine, blue skies, and turquoise blue water. So there's never a bad time to plan your next vacation. Visit stlucie.com/Mets to get started. St. Lucie, Florida, where the season never ends.
You're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Back now as the Mets are tied 3-3 with the Bradenton Marauders after a crazy inning in the fifth, which ended on a stolen base attempt to home.
I'll say this. The Mets played it correctly. Wyatt Hudepohl, he quick-stepped off the rubber. So a legal play. It wasn't a pitch. It was not on the pitch. He stepped off and threw home. And the throw, I mean, you step off and fire home, that ball can go anywhere. He basically threw it to the right-handed batter's box. It wasn't a great throw. I'm freeze-framing it right now, and Jose had to reach out and snag it. But the throw took the ball right to Jose in the base path, so it was a pretty good throw, a better catch. But, yeah, Hudepohl, that was a great job to not rush it, not balk, not throw it away. Yeah, head-scratcher for Bradenton. So Marauders have first and third in the inning, no outs, and don't score. That's a gift to the Mets.
Double play line drive to first and then the out at home. This pitch is a called strike three. And Rosa's down on strikes. This is his first time he has not reached today. Well, what a game this has been today. We've had the turtle out there in left field. And then you have the two home runs for the Mets. The stolen home attempt. It's been a fun one.
Yeah, Alfonso blew through a stop sign. Was out by a mile at home plate in the fourth inning. So Bradenton, terrible running the bases tonight. By the way, this sweet and boozy ice cream, I don't understand the point of it without the booze. It tastes like regular ice cream. So what? I don't get it. But it's sweet and boozy cookies and cream. Non-alcoholic ice cream. So I guess if you go and get some like Buyer's ice cream, it's non-alcoholic.
Ground ball fielded. Throw to first is going to be in time. On the Harrison comes in and charges that one. So one away now in the sixth.
I give it a. It's got an interesting texture. I give it a 4.5 out of 10. I think I should have got the strawberry.
The cookies and cream, that's a go-to flavor.
The chicken tenders. No. You can have the other two. not doing it for me.
This is Colin Houck at the plate. First pitch in there for a called strike. Two away, by the way. Correction in the inning so far now. Pitch on the way. in there for a called strike. And Lopez back out there for his second inning of work. So a 3-3 game in the top of the sixth. Two away here, nobody on. Two strikes now to Colin Houck. Here's the 0-2. Swing and a miss for strike three, and that'll end the inning. So the Mets go down 1-2-3. And we are still tied at three. And now the Marauders will bat in the home sixth.
Dr. Michael C. Solomon is a doctor who cares and always puts his patients first. He's a board-certified surgeon with over 16 years of experience. He has a great medical staff that's compassionate and knowledgeable. If you're in pain or suffer extreme discomfort from kidney stones, prostate or bladder problems, erectile dysfunction, or any other urological problems, call Solomon Urology. Dr. Solomon offers the most current medical and surgical alternatives to resolve your urologic problems.
The Mets are proud to offer affordable and flexible ticket packages so fans of all ages and families of all sizes can see the Mets of the future at Clover Park. Stop by the ticket office or stlucymets.com to purchase single game tickets or a 10 game flex pack, all for a low cost. General admission tickets start at just $10. Purchase our 10 game flex pack, which features 10 undated tickets for only $80. Groups of 15 or more can get an even bigger discount. Inquire with our group sales team at the ballpark. We'll see you at Clover Park in 2024.
Hi, I'm Chief Richard Del Toro of the Port St. Lucie Police Department. In 2021, City Council voted to reduce the speed limit in all our residential neighborhoods from 30 to 25 miles per hour. The police department is committed to keeping our streets safe, and we will continue our traffic enforcement actions in residential neighborhoods.
Can you drive the speed limit? Because I walk in the dark to my bus stop.
I walk to school and you drive to work.
I like to ride my bike in the neighborhood.
This is St. Lucie Mets General Manager Treyer Van Allen, and you're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Well, I welcome you back as the tie 3-3 here in Bradenton. And now it's going to be Joshua Palencios at the plate. First pitch fouled back.
Hudepohl's still going out there. I don't know what to make of this. Two quick hits. Last inning, a sharp line drive, a caught stealing of a home. It all happened very quickly.
Swing and a miss there. It's 0-2.
You don't often see back-to-back hits to start an inning, and only three batters come to the plate in the inning. And that's helpful to Hudepohl's cause of trying to get through six.
Here's his 0-2. And it's two inside, and it's 1-2. Well, the Mets... And one thing they've done all season is using two pitchers for a lot of these games. Maybe they're hoping that can happen again. This pitch is in the dirt, and it's 2-2. Adam, I had one of the chicken fingers. Classic chicken finger ballpark food. That's the way I would describe it. I don't think it was too bad, though. Maybe because I'm just hungry, but...
Yeah, maybe I was too harsh.
2-2 now here to Palencios. And this one's hit foul down the left side.
And because Palacios is a lefty, Mets haven't shifted. So third baseman Boston Barrow couldn't get to that ball. He was in a regular setup at third. He probably was able to get underneath it.
Palacios 0-2 today. Ground out and a fly out. The pitch from Hudepohl, hard line drive, but foul.
The Marauders, they're on it. They are absolutely on Hudepohl right now. He's just trying to survive out there. Another long at-bat, hearted ball, and I don't think Palacios, he doesn't like that bat. I think he broke it.
He's going to go back to the dugout and get a new one.
So we'll wrap up the food discussion, but no booth bites. I guess next week when we return home, I don't know where to stop in Palm Beach. But you know what I did have for the first time today? They have in Bradenton. They don't have in Port St. Lucie. Del Taco.
Del Taco.
I like Del Taco. That was an excellent fast food taco.
Classic fast food place.
That's like It's like the Chick-fil-A of Mexican fast food, though. It felt more upscale.
2-2, and this one's grounded foul again. That's a great way to describe that. The Chick-fil-A of Mexican food.
Fast casual more than fast food.
Fast casual.
Wasn't like Chili's like fast casual? I don't know what the line is anymore for these places. But Del Taco gets the seal of approval.
And this one's too far inside, and the count runs full now to Alessio. Payoff pitch from Hudepol. High fly ball. This one into right, but foul.
Well, he got it all. Foul by about 15 feet. Well, these are starting to be some dangerous pitches. Palacios, if he straightens one out, Braden could very well have the go-ahead run on again.
Now that one hit the palm tree back there in right field. That was a deep shot. But foul. Payoff pitch again. And this one fouled back. This is now going to be the 11th pitch of this at-bat. Hudepol now at 82 pitches.
You know, a walk here would not be the worst result. Not a favorable result, but it would be better than over the wall.
And that's what it will be as the pitch is too far inside. So it's a 11-pitch walk.
He made a good pitch. That was a good breaking ball. It's a good pitch, but Palacios just didn't swing.
And now it's going to be Polanco at the plate with a runner on first and nobody out. Hudepol's been fighting.
No surprise that there wasn't a mound visit there from anybody just to give him a breather after that at-bat. So jump right back into it.
Fouled back, and it's 0-1. A light action, I would say, in the bullpen.
Cello Garcia was supposed to be the piggyback pitcher with Hudepol.
Check over on first, back in time.
But right now it's Juan Arnaud warming up, so perhaps Arnaud going to be the bridge pitcher.
Meanwhile, Hudepol trying to get through as much of the six as he can. Pitch on the way. Line drive into right field, and that one's going to be caught for the first out by Rosa.
Yeah, that ball hung up. Off the bat, it looked like it might fall. It just stayed up in the air, giving Rosa a chance to run underneath it.
Here comes Valdez to the plate, who has been a tough out for the Mets. He's got a double in today's game. Scored a run as well. Check over on first again. Back in safely. Masio still on first. One away. 3-3 game. Pitch is fouled into the Mets dugout. And it's 0-1. On one pitch. And that's too high for a ball. Excuse me, that was the 0-1. Now it's 1-1. 1-1, one away with a runner on first. Hudepol deals. It's inside and it's 2-1. Still tied 3-3 after the Mercado home run. And a swing and a miss there, and it's 2-2.
Yeah, go figure, the first 30 games of the season, Mets hit 7 home runs as a team. The last 2 games, they've slugged 4.
3 of them today. Power has showing up. Excuse me, two of them today. Power showing up for the Mets. That pitch is too low, and the count will run full again.
That's the same pitch he threw 2-2. Or, correction, 2-1. Got the swing and the miss in the dirt, but Valdez was not falling for it that time.
And the third time through the order, batters have seen just about everything from the pitch from Hudepohl, and it can get more difficult. Pitch is inside, and it's a walk now, and runners on first and second with one away.
Two walks in the inning, the last three pitches in the dirt, and he's got to be gassed. He's over 90 pitches looking in the Mets dugout, and Yukari De La Cruz is coming out.
Which all signs point to Hudepohl's day being done. He's responsible for the runners on first and second. Door is opened over there in the Mets bullpen. So we'll get a new pitcher when we come back in this 3-3 ballgame.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Hey, baseball fans.
Well, that really surprised me.
If you're not watching MLB Tonight every night, you're missing something.
I don't know if I've ever seen that happen.
With live look-ins and highlights from every game, plus breakdowns from TV's best analysts, MLB Tonight goes around the league to bring you the whole picture.
I've never seen a night like this.
Don't miss MLB Tonight every night on MLB Network. Go to findmlbnetwork.com for TV channel number.
Beer, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, hamburgers, chicken fingers, french fries, and more. Find all your favorite ballpark fare at one of our fully stocked concession stands on the Clover Park Concourse. Be sure to stop by the Corona Beach House in left field to grab a rum bucket or delicious cocktail. Enjoy the game the way it was meant to be, with an ice cold beverage in hand and a full belly. Let's rejoin tonight's Florida State League game.
Back now here, and we have a new pitcher for the Mets. As Adam mentioned, it is Juan Arnaud, 1.42 ERA. And he is going to face off against Alfonso.
So 92 pitches for Hudepohl. It was a calculated risk to bring him out for this inning. Inning which he walked to as he was tiring. The Mets are hoping that that does not come back to bite them.
One away here in the bottom of the sixth. Mets would love a double play here to end the inning. First pitch is almost like a hybrid pitch out, as Hernandez had to stand up to grab it. And it's 1-0. His pitch way inside, gets away, and both the runners will advance. So now it's going to be runners on third and second with one out.
Well, here we go again. Two walks and a wild pitch in the inning. Mets shooting themselves in the foot. It was a way over correction from Arnaud. I know you mentioned it looked like a pitch out, the prior pitch with Hernandez jumping up and away, but it was not. Just misfired, and then he came way in, and now they're just going to push Alfonso down to first. 2-0 count, first base empty. They issue him the intentional walk.
The intentional walk will load the bases with one away here for Harrison. 1-for-4 today, 1-for-4 yesterday, excuse me, 238. And grounded out to a double play and a sacrifice in the fourth. First pitch. Swing and a miss for strike one.
Arnaud can hit 96-97. That one at 96.
That one inside, and it's 1-1.
Mets are going to challenge that. I thought they should have a late challenge, and they won it.
It's a called strike, so now it's 0-2. Hernandez held that, trying to frame it best he could, and then you're right at him, the late challenge, and they get it, and it's a big one. Now it will come set. The 0-2. Check swing. Did he go? No, he did not.
It's close. Well, there was one on Viva Sensu earlier in the game that looked way less than that. That was called the swinging strike.
They say he held up, so it's 1-2. With one away and the bases loaded here. He struck him out, and there's two away now in the sixth inning. Mets one away from getting out of this bases-loaded jam.
Now, wipeout slider started knee-high, just kept going down, but importantly hit the mitt. Hernandez didn't throw it away to the backstop. Nasty, nasty pitch.
And now it's going to be any base can end the inning for the Mets. It'll be Justin Minkins, the catcher for the Marauders, at the plate. First pitch in there for a called strike. Well, and a big key for these pitchers is getting ahead in these counts, something Hudepohl was able to do early in the game before the second time through the order. And so far, I know he's done a good job of doing just that. Pitch is inside, and it's 1-1.
Bradenton certainly has had their chances the last three innings now. Last two innings running into out number three at the plate. Trying not to waste a bases loaded one out opportunity here.
This one's fouled back and the count will move to 1-2. Arnaud again ahead with two strikes.
And again, this has got to be careful with this pitch. Going for the strikeout, of course. Make sure you hit the mitt.
1-2. Way outside, and that's going to send a runner home. And the play at the plate, not going to be in time. That one hit. And the runner coming home, and it's a 4-3 lead for the Marauders.
Jake, he did not hit the net.
It's the one thing, Adam, you said that you could not do, and that's what they did.
Three walks and two wild pitches in the inning, and that's how the Mets cough up the tie. Did not learn their lesson from last night. They didn't even give Hernandez a chance.
Well, now it's a 4-3 game with runners on third and second. So a 1-2 count. Swing and a miss for a strike three. He got him. And that does end the inning, but not before a wild pitch gives the Marauders a 4-3 lead after six innings.
Tutto Fresco Restaurant and Patio Grill, located at the entrance to PGA Village, offers regional Italian cuisine accompanied by an extensive selection of wine and spirits. We feature traditional Italian recipes from various regions of Italy, celebrating our owner's family heritage. Our goal is to provide an authentic Italian dining experience with uncompromising service. Tutto Fresco, a slice of Italy in the heart of the Treasure Coast.
If you're a Mets fan or a baseball fan 55 years or older, you're invited to become a member of the world-famous Silver Sluggers. What are the perks? How about free admission and parking to all Tuesday games, select Wednesday games, a free hot dog every Tuesday, and an exclusive Silver Slugger t-shirt. Packages start at just $50. Join the nearly 1,000 strong Silver Sluggers who root on the Mets from Clover Park every Tuesday. It's a golden opportunity for the golden age.
Today begins a new journey. Not only will you learn something new and elevate your opportunities, but you'll also discover your purpose.
I'm finding a way to serve my community at Indian River State College.
My nursing degree will go to work where it's needed most.
Using my hands, I can make a dream career come true.
Start a new life-changing chapter with Indian River State College. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Now, back to Mets baseball.
Let's see what the Mets' response is. Last time they lost the handle on the tie, only took one batter to retie the game, Mercado on a home run. Cuevas at the plate. De La Paz still pitching, and Cuevas knocks a ball into center field for base hit. First pitch swinging, he wins the lefty-on-lefty matchup, and Joe Jairo today, two hits now. Well, Mets yesterday, well-documented, but we'll document it again because it's relevant. Had a lead in the seventh inning. Ernesto Mercedes came in, walked a batter, pass ball, wild pitch with two outs and two strikes that tied the game. Today, Arnaud, after three walks in the inning and a wild pitch, got ahead to two strikes, threw another wild pitch. Here's a ground ball, Villavicencio, and it's off the glove of De La Paz. That's going to be a potential error. Villavicencio is on, and the Marauders helping the Mets right back. As De La Paz, he was trying to get ready for the throw before he had the ball secured. It looks like that's going to be called an E1. And here come the Mets, first and second, quickly, with nobody out on a single and an error.
Well, that's one thing the Mets have done a really good job of, is responding. Both going back to last night in the comeback from down six, and now today for the second time, they've threatened to at least tie the game. They did it on the home run, now trying to do it at least station to station right now.
And here's Mercado, and before he sees a pitch, there will be a mound visit. Alfonso may be serving as a translator for Mickness, the catcher, and De La Paz. Mercado up for the first time since he hit the game-tying homer in the fifth. He can tie the game again with the hit. Doesn't have to necessarily be a home run. The Mets don't play a lot of small ball. We've seen Bradenton bunt. We saw Jupiter last week bunt. This would be a bunt scenario, a lefty-lefty matchup, trying to not just to get the tying run at third, but the go-ahead run up to second. And I'm not believing that that's going to happen. First pitch, Mercado gets hit. Hit in the hand. Oh, no, they call the foul ball. Oh, baby. Oh, I don't know about this. Here comes Yukari De La Cruz to argue. That sounded like it did not. That sounded like it hit something, but not the bat. Mercado's shaking out his left hand, and now the umpire's going to look for a mark on the glove. And they're going to say foul ball. Mm-mm-mm. And now Yuki's going to ask for a second opinion. That looked like a hit-by-pitch to me. It sounded like a hit-by-pitch.
I'm with you, Adam. I thought it was. And any time a player is shaking his hand, he knows it hit him.
At whatever explanation, now
the trainer's coming out.
And Yuki's going to, he's not satisfied. He's going to summon Adam Devery out, the trainer. And the Mets are going to milk this. They think he was hit by pitch.
I think Mercado's pointing to his arm, too, trying to show that there's a mark or where it hit him.
Yeah, that's what Yuki asked the umpire to look at. But our umpire, Michael Cross, was apparently not impressed with what he saw. Well, that's too bad. That was the bases loaded, no outs for the Mets. Tying run at third. And look, lefty-lefty matchup. You'll take that base. So now Mercado, not only does he not get to take his base, but he's dinged up, and now he's got to swing the bat.
Well, the good news, you want to try to take something positive away from this. I mean, Mercado has the home run in this game, and he can do some damage with his bat with a base hit.
Now he's back in the box. De La Paz's next pitch is fouled straight back, and now it's nothing and two. That was the other aspect. Not only was it not a hit by pitch, it was a strike. O-2 pitch right down the middle for strike three, and that went sour on the Mets real fast. From bases loaded to an out. And taking a look at the replay, I mean, look, we don't have super slow-mo here. But Michael Cross, he was fairly adamant. Maybe it hit the bat and his wrist simultaneously. Now Mosquera 0 for 2. takes a fastball for a strike. Pickoff throw not going to be in time to first. We'll say this about the reaction. Mercado didn't sell it that fast, and Cross was immediate in his action saying foul ball. Here's a ground ball, booted at third, picked up. The throw is going to be held, and then finally tagged is the base runner Cuevas. Rivas with the tag for the force out, but Cuevas staying in the baseline long enough to deter a double play. So it'll be a fielder's choice for Mosquera.
And unfortunate there. The Mets got the break of the ball not being fielded cleanly, but because runners on second got stuck there, and it's an easy tag out for the Marauders to make it two away now.
Back to the top at Vargas, and he takes a strike. So this inning started up nicely for the Mets. First and second, no outs. They thought they had a hit-by-pitch for the bases loaded. Instead, that at-bat ends in a strikeout, then a ground out. So first and second still. Vargas, oh, his worst swing of the year. Up high, nearly hit him, swung and missed, and he's going to use the timeout for the 0-2. That's not the most unlikely Marco Vargas swing you'll ever hear. He's got a single and a walk today. Mets down a run in the seventh. The 0-2 pitch, it's lined into left field, and that's going to be caught! Caught by Valdez. He somehow made the catch. He takes away a hit in the lead from the Mets and keeps the Marauders up by one. He came in too far, then he rerouted, and he snagged it snow cone style, robbing Vargas and the Mets. And De La Paz is going to greet him with the hug right out by shortstop. What a brutal inning for the Mets. What a brutal last two innings. Losing the tie on the wild pitch. They don't get the hit by pitch. They don't get the hit. It's all Bradenton this series, and it continued right there.
The biggest Mets fan is also the biggest fan of adventures in St. Lucie, Florida. Mr. Met wants your family to visit St. Lucie for epic home runs, eating hot dogs at the park, walking through art spaces, rounding the beaches, or just sliding into vacation bliss. Start planning now at visitstlucie.com/Mets. St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, and Hutchinson Island, where the season never ends.
Orange and blue will look good on you, and you can find those colors at the Clover Park Fan Shop. Hats, jerseys, t-shirts, polos, shorts, sweatshirts, plus collectibles, and plenty more. Anything a casual or diehard Mets fan could want can be found in the Fan Shop. The Fan Shop is open on game days starting at 3 p.m. Tuesday to Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday. You can shop 24/7 online at stlucimets.com. Be sure to check back for special deals throughout the season. Now get shopping.
Best tailgate, brisket.
No, real football y pollo asado.
Hoops and wings.
Dude, subs.
Hot dogs.
Chili dog.
No, Dodger dog.
It's gotta be crawfish.
Now you're talking burgers.
Seven-layer dip. Ribs.
No contest.
Hummus.
What?
You need a hot grill.
And an ice-cold Coke.
Of course.
Football and Coke, come on.
It's got to be Coke.
Game day.
Race day.
Calls for Coke.
You know it.
Grab yourself a Coke.
It's tailgate 101.
Now let's get back to the action.
After the seventh inning stretch, Bradenton continues to lead 4-3. New pitcher alert, Saul Garcia on the mound for St. Lucie. And he spins in a breaking ball for a strike to Javier Rivas. Now look, folks, you got two teams who are quickly going the opposite direction. As this spinner is swung on and missed, you got Bradenton on an 8-game winning streak, the Mets on a 7-game losing streak. And for the past 20 minutes, and you kind of see how it's summarized. My one team is on, each team is on its respective streak as Garcia misses low. You have the Mets just absolutely gifting the go-ahead run on three walks and two wild pitches to the Marauders. Bradenton gets a lucky break after the error on the non-hit-by-pitch. And then the fabulous play in left field by Valdez to save the lead. If the Mets want to start winning, they got to find a way to have those plays go their way. Some of those things you can control. As this pitch is swung on a miss, Garcia blows away Rivas. And after only two strikeouts through the first six and a third, now three consecutive strikeouts. It'll be hard to get to a double-digit strikeout game for the Mets today. That was just their fifth.
The Mets pitching has done a good job in this game, limiting the damage. You had the couple of mistakes. They're the ones that make it look a lot worse. But overall, I think they've done mostly a good job, which they've done all year.
Now, when you're on a baseball team and you're on a losing streak like this, you know, it's rare that you bust out of the losing streak with a runaway win. You know, you're going to have to scratch and claw. It's probably going to be a close game. You know, that's why it's really, you cannot have that last sixth inning the Mets had on the mound with the wild pitches, the walks. You just can't do it. You got to find a way to throw strikes, keep that game tied. You can do that if you're up 11-3. Pitch is outside. It's 3-0 on Campana. But the Mets did get some breaks prior to that sixth inning. They got that line-out double play. They got the weird stolen, caught stealing at home. This pitch is inside for ball four.
And credit to Valdez, who's played very well.
That was a great play.
He made a great catch.
Yeah, great catch. And again, when you're on an eight-game winning streak, you make plays like that. When you're on a seven-game losing streak, you look across and you see teams making that play against you. And you feel like it maybe never going to end or break your way. And that's why, you know, for the Mets, it's the more bothersome aspect of the game is that run in the sixth inning. There's a ball outside to Kiner Delgado. Double and a line out and a ground out. But the Mets, they're still in it. Only down a run. One on, one out. Garcia, a fresh arm. Pickoff throw, great catch by Cuevas. That was not a good one by Saul.
And this is a big inning to keep this a one-run game because, as you said, Adam, Mets are absolutely still in it, no question. And they show they can score runs. They've scored them on all three runs have come in on the home runs, but they've put runners on base.
Ground ball to the hole, sliding stop by Houck. What a throw by Colin to second for the force out. Colin Houck has just made his best defensive play of the season, a sliding stop in the hole at short, somehow contorts his body, and from a knee, throws a strike to Vargas at second to force out Campana.
What did we just say, Adam? You need those kind of plays to go your way, and that is exactly what Houck just did, making a fantastic sliding stop and then the flip over to second to get the lead runner.
Second out of the inning. Palacios at the plate. He's the one who walked and was gifted his way around the bases. Back in the sixth, the difference-making run right now. 0-1 pitch, it's fouled back.
And I was saying before, Adam, that play by Houck. The Mets, in that last inning, had runners on first and second. You're about to have bases loaded until it was called a foul ball. But they've responded every time that they've gone down in this game, and there's no reason to think that they can't do it again.
0-2 pitch is fouled away.
So I blew up as much as I could in Premier to look at that pitch. Fortunately, it's too hard to tell exactly where it landed.
A non-hit by pitch.
It is what it is. Can't dwell on it too much.
We can't? 0-2 pitch, a called strike, but we have a challenge from Palacios, and he won it. So as the Mets walk off the field, they'll have to jog back on to their stations.
Well, and that's a dangerous thing to do on the challenge, Adam, and I think Bradenton a little upset with himself because Delgado on first right now, they were saying for him to run because all the Mets players were walking off of the field, but he didn't go.
It's a live ball. One, two, now he runs, pitches grounded to first. That's going to be a fair ball. Picked by Cuevas, he'll step on the bag. Great job by Cuevas to meet that ball head on. Did not let it turn foul. So Saul Garcia gets around the one-out walk, a nice seventh inning. Getting deep into tonight's game, Bradenton still leads 4-3 on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
New in 2024 is the Friday Family Fan Club. For $48 per family member, each member gets a ticket to all Friday games, free parking for all Friday games, 25% off concessions and merchandise at all Friday games, a member pass holder card, and exclusive access to club-only events. That's a savings of over $150 per person. Sign up for the new Friday Family Fan Club at the ticket office or online at stluciemets.com. What a win for the fam.
Let's get back to the field.
New pitcher alert for Bradenton in the top of the eighth. It's Magdiel Cotto. He is the one who saved the day, removing the turtle back in the early innings. Now he's trying to save the day for the Marauders. Harrit's a one-run lead, looking for six outs. Not sure if he'll go two innings or not. It'll be Barrow, Rosa, and Hernandez. You have Boston, who had a great last two games. Rosa, who's homered two consecutive games. Hernandez, who homered yesterday. This is a good trio for the Mets to have up, trailing 4-3. Mets once led 2-0 through 3.5. Bradenton led 3-2. Then the Mets tied it in the fifth, only to hand it right back to Bradenton in the sixth. Barrow fouls one away. Both teams leaving some plays on the fields. Also, both teams making some stupendous plays tonight.
Got a little bit of everything tonight. And then some.
And we still have two full innings to go. As Barrow takes a pitch outside. Barrow again, three hits yesterday, but quiet today, 0-3 with the strikeout. This is a lefty-lefty matchup, but Barrow made most of his work yesterday against lefties. Takes this pitch for a strike inside corner. Ooh, that one might have been worth a challenge.
Barrow didn't like it, but he decides to keep it.
So 1-2 count. Cotto's pitch outside, good take. Stop as we heard this before. Boston Barrow, another deep count. It's not full yet. The 2-2. Swung on and missed. Good slider. Barrow was out ahead of it. He strikes out for the second time tonight. A good start for Cotto. Yoldine De La Paz, 2 2/3, one hit, scoreless ball. No walks and three strikeouts. He stood out by short, waiting for Valdez to greet him. Big hug. Otherwise, he'd be on the hook for a loss. Here's Rosa, who can tie this game with one swing. Rare night where the Mets are doing their offensive damage with the long ball. Really the only game they've done that all season. One swing away. There was a big cut and a miss on a changeup, 1-1. On Rosa, hit a two-run homer back in the first, a single in the fourth. Off to a great start. Fouls one off to the left, and it's 1-2. And as the Mets battled Bradenton tough last night, one thing that went overlooked is the Mets went down meekly late in the game at the plate. 1-2 pitches fouled away. Last night's final pitcher for Bradenton, Landon Tompkins, only
needed six pitches to retire all four batters he faced. One, two. Rosa fouls off another. He's battling tough.
Yeah, this is what you want to see from the Mets, as we've talked about so many times. The more you can see a pitcher's pitches, things start to shift in your favor.
Cotto, the 1-2. Fly ball, well struck into center field, but the ballpark will hold it. Campana's there, makes the catch for out number two. Two up, two down here in the eighth. And since the Mets had first and second, no outs last inning, five straight batters have been retired. I'm hoping they didn't miss their window of opportunity. Here's Hernandez, 0 for 3. Now 1 for 17 in this return to St. Lucie. Made that one hit count, the two-run blast yesterday. They have another in him. First pitch, he'll take a changeup off the plate for ball one. Marauders lead 4-3, two outs, nobody on in the top of the eighth. Pitch, a late swing and a miss on a fastball up to 94 miles per hour. This is the second appearance of the week for Cotto. Fastball called strike two. Now Cotto works ahead. Cotto pitched on the eighth, two scoreless innings. Got the win. Down low, even count, two balls, two strikes. One hit, no walks, and one strikeout in that appearance on Wednesday night. 2-2 to Hernandez. He hits one high off the plate, bouncing out to second. It'll be thrown. Nope, it'll be held by Delgado. Wise decision by Delgado. If he throws that, it's going to be late, and who knows where it goes. Hernandez legs out an infield hit with two outs.
Not only would that throw be late, but Delgado off balance coming in, and that's one that very likely ends up all the way past first base into the netting.
And then he would have put the tying run at second base. And he's going to let Cotto pitch with the tying run at first, and Colin Houck at the plate. Houck just made that tremendous play defensively. Last half inning, he takes a ball outside here. Colin, that fly out in the first inning, thought might have had the chance to get out deep to left center, caught in the warning track. Two strikeouts since. Takes this pitch for a strike, didn't like it, but won't challenge.
You know, Adam, I'm feeling good. He made the great defensive play, had one close to getting out. This would be a great time for him to break out of this slump.
Ball and a strike. Cotto from the stretch. A swing and a miss on a pitch in the dirt. Expanded too far. Looked like some type of split. 87. Hernandez takes a short lead from first. Cotto ready for the 1-2. The pitch. Out, fouls it off. It was a changeup. Just nicked it. Stay alive. How can this series only one hit, way overdue for another? Cotto set, 1-2 pitch, struck him out. And that changeup fading away, and the inning is over. Hernandez, two out hit. But he stranded at first. No runs, a hit, no errors. One left aboard. Bradenton leading 4-3. Will bat in the home eighth when we return.
Don't settle for loose or ill-fitting dentures. Now, get an exclusive all-new smile from All Smiles Dentistry using a team approach for a smoother implant process that results in a high-quality fit with a lot less time in the chair.
They took care of me like you would not believe.
Call today for a free implant consultation. Visit AllSmilesFamilyDentist.com right now for your all-new smile.
The biggest, best, and brightest fireworks shows on the Treasure Coast can be witnessed right here at Clover Park on Saturdays throughout the 2023 season. Watch the night sky light up with a spectacular pyrotechnic extravaganza that'll be sure to bring out thousands of oohs and ahs. Purchase your tickets now at the box office or stluciemets.com. Fireworks on a Saturday night is fun for all.
Whether we're miles away or 6 feet apart, we're closer than we've ever been. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we care for everyone, and safety is our top priority. From extra measures at all locations to virtual visits, we're here for you every day. For every procedure and treatment, for every visit with peace of mind, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/access.
This is Paul Taglieri, and you're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
The assignment for Saul Garcia is to keep the score right where it is. Mets down a run. Mets will have Cuevas, Villavicencio, and Mercado. 6-7-8 due up in the bottom, top of the ninth. Down. They are hoping just one run. By the way, it's space night here at Lee-Com Park. Don't have much details on why it's space night. I don't think it has anything to do with the solar storm as Garcimus is outside, but whoever's running the music next door has done an A++++++ job since the gates open. And just space-themed songs, dance in the moonlight between innings. I don't think I've heard Rocket Man.
No, Rocket Man. That would be a good one.
Maybe I just missed it.
We'll say when we were walking around the ballpark, there was something going over there on right field. People building some kind of robotics, it looked like.
Yeah, as Polanco swings and misses. And there was a telescope, a big telescope, down outside the gate when I was walking around to get our meal in the fourth inning there. Pitches a strike. Now up there with the solar system, the solar storm, I don't think wreaked as much havoc as people thought it might on the power grid or the satellites. Well, there's some internet issues in the world today as this pitch misses. But some of the photos you're seeing online of the sky, the aurora, looks fantastic. But down here in Florida, we're kind of cheated out of that. Although people were sending photos from Okeechobee, maybe where it's darker in the middle of the state. I don't see anything right now, though.
Clear skies out tonight.
3-2 pitch, a swing and a miss. Polanco tied up on the high fastball. The Mets might not get to double-digit strikeouts tonight, but that is their sixth of the day. Two for each pitcher, Hudepohl, Arnaud, and now Garcia. One gone in the home eighth. Bradenton leads 4-3. Valdez is up. One for two with a single walk, strikeout, and a run. First pitch. He hits a high fly ball, dead center, dead center. Mosquera back, makes the catch short of the track. Now the wind's starting to blow out again, and that ball looked like it might have had a chance. He hit it too high.
I wish we had a nice camera up here to take a pick. That ball, center with no stars in the sky, and that thing was a mile high. And it just died right on the warning track. Fortunate for the Mets.
If he hits it to left or right, it's gone.
Absolutely.
To the furthest part of the park. Scary out number two. Valdez seeking a third straight game with the home run. Narrowly missed. Now Alfonso has not been retired. Two walks and a single.
Launch angle, by the way, on that last one, 37 degrees.
Same as the Rosa homer. Breaking pitch. Frisbee style in for a strike, 1-0-2 rather, and Alfonso will use his timeout.
Now this really tried to embrace the space night again, just like Rosa did back in the first inning.
I liked, you said he almost hit into orbit. Garcia dangling the arm, taking a long time to come set, forcing Alfonso to hold his ground. The pitch inside. They had a stat on the video board.
did you know question that you'd have to hit a baseball 20,000 mile per hour exit velocity to get it into space. That, I'm safe to say, will never happen. Ground ball foul. And they paired that stat with the fact that O'Neill Cruz, current Pirate, former Marauder, has the hardest hit ball in the StatCast era. 2022, I think, hit one 122 miles per hour off the bat. I think that was a single. But O'Neill Cruz has a long way to go to get one into outer space. Love the space theme. The 1-2 pitch, check swing, he went too far, called it home plate by Michael Cross. A 1-2-3, two-strikeout inning for Saul Garcia. Now, can the Mets scratch across a run to keep the game going? Find out next on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Like a breath of fresh air, Wilder is making its debut on the Treasure Coast. And new homes are now available from the 300s. At Wilder, residents will explore their wild side and enjoy exciting resort-style amenities, park-like greenways, and a large lakefront recreation area. Learn more about this exciting new community today by visiting livewilder.com. It's time to live wild.
Every Saturday this season, the St. Lucie Mets will be sporting custom-themed jerseys that fans can bid on. Each jersey benefits a different local charity and will be autographed by the player who is wearing it. To bid on jerseys, please visit stluciemets.com/auction. And don't forget to join us for each of our themed nights. You can find the full list at stluciemets.com.
To those of you on the front lines, and in the back of the house, making it work, but wanting to make a change for the better. At Indian River State College, we make change possible with affordable, sensible, expertly taught degree programs. Earn a bachelor's degree, associate's degree, or certificate in the trades in over 100 programs. The change you want is within your reach. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Let's get back to the field.
Mets trying to stave off an eight-game losing streak. Need to find a run against Magdiel Cotto here in the ninth inning. By the way, two lefties scheduled to hit. I wonder if we don't see Jesus Baez at some point in this inning. As Cuevas takes a strike. Now, Johairo, two hits tonight, including a one off a lefty, De La Paz, last time up. Pitch comes inside and hits him. Are we sure it hit him? So yes.
Pretty sure that one did.
Okay. All right. He's hit by the pitch. Couldn't get out of the way, somewhere on the arm, shoulder side. So the tying run is put aboard. That's a mistake. Big mistake. A lefty-lefty matchup trying to close out the game. And you plunk him. Now Kevin Villavicencio looking down the line. Yukari De La Cruz giving all sorts of signs. Now, Villavicencio, a good bunter. Mets don't bunt a lot, but this is certainly a bunt situation. Pitch comes home. He's going to square, and he pops it up foul into the seats.
You know, one of the most dangerous things in baseball, Adam, is the first pitch walk or hit by pitch, however you want to swing it. And now the Mets, the big chance to take advantage of that. We haven't seen them play small ball this year. Let's see if they can do it here.
And this situation calls for it. The hitter calls for it. 0-1. He's going to swing away and miss. So Villavicencio missed his opportunity with the bunt on that first pitch foul. Now he's got to find a way to get Cuevas up to second base some other way. Cotto, the 0-2 pitch, down low, good take. Kevin today 0-for-3, reached on the error in the seventh. A dribbler up the third base side. That would work.
Now listen, does it really matter how you get Cuevas to second? Just that is your goal. As long as he gets there, it's a productive out.
1-2 pitch, he takes a called third strike and will challenge immediately.
I think this is a good challenge.
He won it. Good call, Jake. That's why you keep the challenges late. You don't blow them early.
Well, you go back to the Boston Barrow, who didn't challenge that one pitch. Now, the Mets still have an extra challenge after this, but he saves one there. It helps the Mets out in this situation in the ninth.
2-2 pitch. A pop-up in foul ground. Mets have to hope this gets out of play. It's going to be close. It's caught. It's caught on a snow cone by Alfonso, the first baseman. He reached into his dugout, and the ball nearly popped out, but he got it. That ball needed another foot to the right. DeVicencio can't get the bunt down, can't get the runner over. It's a tough first out. And we do have the aforementioned Jesus Baez on an 11-game hitting streak. Well, that's a tough way to try to extend a hitting streak. You got one shot at the plate.
This would be quite the way to do it.
Now, Mercado, the lefty, was due up. Time is called. So with one out, tying run on, they were not going to have the lefty Mercado bat against the lefty Cotto, running a risk of an easy out or potential game-ending double play. They'll bring in Jesus Baez, who, again, the Mets' hottest hitter going. 11-game hit streak. He's doubled in each of his last two games. You don't see a lot of pinch hitting in this level. The Mets, though, have seen quite a few pinch hitters against them late in tight games. Think about three games in Daytona a couple of weeks back. Daytona ultra successful using those pinch hitters. Yesterday, two pinch hitters for Bradenton. Both worked out, or one worked out, and Forrester drawing a walk. Alfonso, a pinch hitter, struck out, despite getting hit 3-1. So we had a mound visit. Matt Ford, the pitching coach, out for discussion, maybe a reminder of how to attack Baez. Let's see if Jesus is able to do some damage here. It's down a run, one out in the ninth. Cotto, first pitch, Baez takes it away.
Baez batting 285 on the season. He got hot, got cooled off a little bit for a little while, and then has gotten hot again. And again, goal is to try and move that runner to second, ideally without an out.
A 1-0 pitch, a flare into shallow right field, dropping fast. Palacios won't get there. Cuevas trying to go to third, and he will. Jesus Baez, pinch hit single off the bench. Sends the tying run to third base, 90 feet away. And that will make it a 12-game hitting streak.
How about that? Comes in a tough situation for the hitting streak, extends it, and does more than what you wanted as he gets Cuevas all the way to third base and does a smart job of staying on first. I mean, that hit, it just got down on the right field, slowly developing. And he probably could have gone to second, but smart decision not to risk it and have two away.
He took a wide turn. Cuevas watched that one fall in, but had plenty of time to get to third. Now Mosquera at the plate, trying to tie this game up. First pitch is a ball outside. Mets have seen so many of these games go against them on the road, and they turn their fortunes around here.
Big chance for the Mets, too. Mosquera batting 210, and then you got the top of the lineup to come up after him.
1-0 pitch. A pop-up on the infield. Foul territory. Mickness underneath. Makes the catch. Two down.
That was probably the one thing that you didn't want.
Outside of a double play ball, the one thing.
Right.
And Bradenton was playing back for a double play. A slow ground ball somewhere would have done the trick. And a pop-up foul territory. And now it comes down to Vargas, who was robbed of a hit last time up. And now we have the right fielder Palacios limping off and telling the dugout, send somebody else out there.
And you know, this might explain why he was so slow to that ball in right field, because it certainly looked like he did not hustle towards it. So I wonder if this happened sooner and he tried to just stick it out.
Well, he's been on a rehab assignment for Bradenton. And you're right, Jake. He did not get to that ball quickly and maybe overexerted himself and we'll have a, but he subbed himself out. Nobody was coming to get him. Maybe he didn't get word in the last at bat. But clearly tweaked something in that play to go get it off the bat of Baez. And the new outfielder is going to be Solomon McGuire. Marco Vargas robbed of the go-ahead hit last time up on that great play by Valdez and left. Mets down to their last out. A hit can tie the game. And out ends it. First pitch. Slider, strike one. Vargas not afraid to go the other way with it. He can spray it to all fields.
And you don't need to be the hero, hit the one anything deep, just a base hit. Tie this game up.
0-1 pitch down and away. Good take and a good stop by the catcher, Mickness.
Vargas coming into this game batting 313. He's got 7 walks on the season as well. Hasn't played in many games in many of these tough situations. Big test for him here.
It is a lefty-lefty matchup, and Barrow is lefty. He's on deck. A 1-1 inside for ball two. Whizzing right by the chest of Vargas. 4-3, Bradenton. 2 outs, top of the ninth. Tying run 90 feet away in Cuevas. Go-ahead run in Baez on first. Pitch home. Line drive out of play off the end of the bat. Vargas trying to poke it into left field. Not a bad attempt. Again, he can spray it all fields. He's being pitched outside, willing to go with it outside, and now the Mets are down to their final strike. 2-2. On the way. Ground ball to third. Cut off by Rivas. Throws low to first. Alfonso holds the bag. And the game's over. Not a great throw, a great catch by Alfonso, who is falling down, making the catch. Vargas all the way down the line, hand in his head, squatting. Was that close? A near throwaway. Instead, another loss for the Mets and another win for the Marauders. It's Bradenton for the fifth time in the last 5 days in this series, forming the happy high five line between second, the mound, and home plate. They just keep on rolling. They've won 10 of 11 on this homestand with one more game to go. The Mets have just lost for their eighth straight game. They dropped to 12-20. Bradenton now 14-18. Mets leave the tying run 90 feet away. Another gut punch for the St. Lucie Mets on the road. I mean, they are taking punches from a Mike Tyson-like opponent in its prime on a nightly basis away from Clover Park. And Vargas gingerly limping back towards the Mets dugout. Hopefully, he has not aggravated anything. Mets will trudge back to the clubhouse down the left field line. A lot of folks in the Mets dugout still sitting there. Thoughts going through everybody's heads. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get a win on the road and end this nasty, nasty 8-game losing streak? The winning rights tonight, the winning run today scores like this. Walk, walk, wild pitch. Intentional walk, wild pitch. Just a brutal way to lose a 3-3 tie. Take a break, come back, and wrap it up with the postgame show, Bradenton's 4-3 win at Leacom Park.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Keep up with the St. Lucie Mets this season by following us on our social channels. Use the handle @St. Lucie Mets to find us on X, Instagram, and TikTok. There you will find the latest and greatest Mets content, like exclusive videos, game highlights, the inside scoop on Clover Park promotions, team information, weather updates, and more. Find us and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/St. Lucie Mets. And make sure to visit stluciemets.com, too. It's all happening on social media this season, so follow along and don't be left out.
The baseball season may start in St. Lucie, Florida, but with an average temperature of 77 degrees, 21 miles of pristine beaches, more than 20 world-class golf courses, and miles of lush nature trails, there's something for the whole family to enjoy. St. Lucie is home to year-round warm sunshine, blue skies, and turquoise blue water, so there's never a bad time to plan your next vacation. Visit stlucie.com/Mets to get started. St. Lucie, Florida, where the season never ends.
Mets Post Game Live starts now on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Leecom Park in Bradenton, Florida. Adam McDonald and Jake Ricker back with you. I'm high atop the action, second floor broadcasting booth, wrapping up, unfortunately, another Mets defeat. This one 4-3, a nip and tuck game. Really, we've had three of those games out of five here at Leecom Park, and Bradenton has won them all. Mets will drop to 4-13. On the road, they've lost five games on the road in which they were tied or in the lead in the ninth inning. This time they lose a game in which they were down by one with the tying run at third base and one out. So that's basically the same equivalent. Mets are, Jake, they're that close to doing it, but they just haven't been able to.
Adam, you said it before we went to break. It's gut punch. That's been the word for the Mets. They've been so close in these games. And you look at today's game and the pitching staff pitched well, but the big mistake is that winning run, which comes across with no hits. It's something you just cannot have. It's happened to the Mets a couple of times. He had a couple of the pass balls, or wild pitches, I should say, when the bases were loaded, run comes home in that situation. So just a couple of costly mistakes, and then offensively, the Mets got the big hit that they needed, but it just couldn't quite just come through. Some unfortunate things, too, with the potential hit-by-pitch, non-hit-by-pitch that would have loaded the bases. That's just the way things have been going for the Mets, and when things are not going well, sometimes things begin to snowball, which is what's happened to them on this eight-game losing streak.
And when you're on an eight-game losing streak, things like that happen. You throw a wild pitch to lose a game in the sixth inning. You don't get a good ball in play with the tying run at third and one out, even though the defense is playing back. And if you're Bradenton, look, you run into outs at home plate twice in two innings. You made a bad error in there for first and second, no outs, trying to hang on to a lead. But when you're an eight-game winning streak, you overcome things like that. And when you're on a seven-game losing streak, you don't take your, you're on a nine-game winning streak now for Bradenton. Yeah, you overcome those. You shake them off. And when you're on the eight-game losing streak like the Mets, you don't. You don't make those plays, and one thing goes wrong, and you can't overcome it. So very unfortunate as we get to the scoring summary. Jeffrey Rosa began it with a bang, a two-run homer, three batters into the game. Mets had the lead, 2-0, their largest lead of the series. Wyatt Hudepohl was pitching great. First three innings, he faced the minimum. Only one walk, no hits. He erased the walk in a double play. And then as the bottom of the fourth started, we discussed it, Jake. We said, all right, second time through the order, who's making the adjustment to who? Well, Bradenton made big-time adjustments as they got three runs in the inning and should have had more if not for some bad base running. But Kiner Delgado started the fourth with a double. There was a walk in the inning, a single for Valdez. A wild pitch scored Delgado to make it 2-1. Omar Alfonso hit an RBI single to make it 2-2. Kalai Harrison followed with a sac fly to make it 3-2. Mickness then hit a double, but fortunately for the Mets, Alfonso blew through the stop sign and was thrown out at the plate, so that stopped the bleeding. But Bradenton entered the inning down two with no hits. They left the inning up one with four hits. The Mets tied the game the next batter. In the fifth inning, top of the fifth, Starling Mercado cranks one out to right field, his second of the season, made it a 3-3 game. And then in the fifth inning, Mets lucked out. Bradenton first and third, nobody out. A double play, and then a caught stealing at home plate wipes out a Bradenton chance to take the lead. But then the Mets would hand Bradenton the lead in the sixth inning, just a brutal way to do it, as Palacios drew a walk.
from Hudepohl, who was clearly running out of gas. Hudepohl got the next batter out, but then walked Valdez. Now first and second, one out. In comes Juan Arnaud, throws a wild pitch to make it second and third. At that point, you walk the batter to load the bases. Then he gets a strikeout. So we're looking at bases loaded, but two outs. Gets ahead of Mickness with two strikes, and then did what Mercedes did last night. Spiked one, the absolute last thing he could do. Actually overthrew it to the backstop. The last thing he could do, a freebie run as Palacios scores. And that was 4-3, and that was it. There was not another run the rest of the game. The Mets had a good chance in the ninth, in the eighth inning, as Jake mentioned, or seventh inning. First and second, no outs. Mercado at the plate. Looks like he gets hit by a pitch to load the bases. Umpire rules foul ball. Two pitches later, he's out on strikes. A ground out and a line out ends the inning. The line out to Valdez, a sprawling catch, robbing a potential two-run hit from Vargas that would have given the Mets the lead. Then in the ninth inning, Cuevas hit by a pitch, goes first to third on the pinch hit single by Baez, but then Mosquera pops out foul territory. Vargas grounds out to third. Close play at first. Dramatic catch by Alfonso at first base, falling down, but he did hold the bag, and he did end the game. Moving to the box score, starting with the line score, 3 runs on 8 hits, 1 error for the Mets. They lose another game on the road in which they out-hit their opponent. They did it last night, too. Get this, when the Mets out-hit their opponent on the road, they're now 3-5. 6-0 when they do it at home. Bradenton, 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 error. Hitters in the game, Mets got multiple games from Rosa. He's 2-for-4. He's got 2 home runs now. Cuevas went 2-for-3, plus the hit by pitch. Baez extends the hit streak to 12 games. A lot of credit for that to him. Not easy when you get one shot at it off the bench in the ninth inning. Vargas had a hit and a walk. Hernandez had a hit as well. And Mercado slugged his second home run. For Bradenton, no multi-hit games and no home runs. They still found a way to win. For the Mets, Hudepohl takes the loss. It was his run who scored despite Arnaud chucking the ball to the backstop. He's now 1-2. Hudepohl, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned. He walked 4, struck out 2. Arnaud, 2/3 inning, no hits, no runs, a walk, 2 strikeouts, inherited run allowed. Sal Garcia, 2 scoreless hitless innings, a walk, and 3 punchouts. Good night for Garcia, keeping the Mets down a run. Mets, just the 8th time this year, now 9th time, they did not strike out at least 10 in a game. For Bradenton, Curtis, the starter, 4 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, a walk, 4 strikeouts. De La Paz gets his 4th win, 4-0, 2 2/3, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts. He owes his buddy Valdez out there in left field the Diet Coke. Cotto picks up his first save, did it the hard way, stranding that runner on third with 1 out, 2 innings, 2 hits, scoreless ball, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Time of game, tidy 2 hours and 34 minutes in front of 1,490 baseball-loving souls on Space Night at Lee Comm Park. And it looks like they're ringing out the telescope to center field. Maybe they can put it down where the turtle was. All right. Now we look into tomorrow. Mets got to try to get out of Dodge with a win, right? They can't go on the road and go 0-6. What's the point of even coming over here? Got to get a win somehow. It'll be a quick turnaround. The noon starts. More good weather. It'll be hot, but we should be able to play 9 uninterrupted innings. And after that, the boys will head back to Clover Park and get ready for their next road trip to Palm Beach. We'll go airtime tomorrow on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network at 11:50 a.m.
And the good news for the Mets, too, looking at this, is there's still a lot of positives to take away. These last couple of games haven't been big blowouts, so hopefully they can just string that together and end this road trip, at least to Bradenton, on a positive note. It's been tough sledding, but just ways things sometimes go. You know, been tough for the Mets. Hopefully they can bounce back tomorrow.
Well, folks, that'll do it for this game, this post-game show, and this broadcast. For Jake Ricker, I'm Adam McDonald. Thank you so much for making the Mets part of your Saturday night. We hope all of you out there listening in Radioland have a pleasant remainder of your evening.
Thank you.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the St. Lucie Mets and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the St. Lucie Mets.